I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
If you're a golf fan, they're using this in promos now.
Have no place to go.
Mind my own business. I'm not hurting anybody.
Place to go.
Dozing off on my couch.
Darling, have no place to go.
And I heard this. I thought it was the start of the show.
Have no place to go.
I sat up straight, started saying things.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going.
Hi, this is show number 1126, and I thank you for listening to it. If your taxes aren't done yet, today's the day, baby. Oh, you knew that? I feel pretty good about myself. I got my extension in 3 days early. So,
it's big
got that going for me. It's positive.
What is the actual deadline? Is it midnight local time or is it midnight Eastern time?
I think it's midnight local time. So, occasionally, if you're really running late, you could fly to Denver, and add an extra hour. You got to plan ahead a little
Seems
bit for that.
Productive.
But. Yeah. But good luck. It's stressful. Good luck. We got Kid of the Week coming up. There's this new treatment for depression called ketamine, which you may have heard us discuss on the show before. And the guy behind the push for this will be on, once again, Dr. Bal Nandra. It's interesting stuff and interesting to hear the development of it because it's helping an awful lot of people. And good news story later, a single mom that just graduated from law school.
How cool is that?
Working her fanny off, so that's a good thing. 6:11, let's do the top six.
Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel. It's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
Item number one. President Trump rejected new sanctions on Moscow yesterday, a day after the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Nikki Haley, said we'd impose new sanctions on Russia over the Syrian chemical weapons program and any leftovers from it that weren't flattened by Friday night's missile attack. Stay tuned and quack. Where's the quack?
Quack.
Oh.
It's cold. I think he wanted to go south for the winter. Now he's back. He's
Is
just
he sickly?
Upset.
Yeah, the duck sounds tired.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The fight over what to do with stuff seized from President Trump's personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, continues. The judge in the case is a woman named Kimba Wood, very highly regarded, and did not agree to let Mr. Trump review the 10 boxes of documents and roughly, Mr. Trump's attorney, I should say, review the 10 boxes of documents and roughly a dozen electronic devices before prosecutors do. And then late in the day, said prosecutors wouldn't get the first look either. Those discussions continuing. It appears they've come to some sort of compromise now, where they're going to be able to look at them together. We are the world.
Right. Hold hands and sing Kumbaya.
Quack. Elgin's Grand Victoria Casino is going to be sold. You want to buy a casino?
Yeah, I think we can probably afford it. We all chip in a little bit.
$327.5 million.
Yeah. We'll have to chip in a little more than we normally would, but
Nevada-based El Dorado Resort said it entered into a definitive agreement to pay $327.5 million for the casino. Now operated by MGM Resorts and RBG. That's a Pritzker Family Limited Partnership. We don't know if JB's got any interest in it, but, I mean, when would we ever find a politician who had a couple ethical concerns? Mm. So,
and conflicts sure of
we'll
interest?
Find.
No, come
sure
on.
Sure we'll find. This is a sad story. Harry Anderson died, 65 years old.
Yeah, I liked him.
Night Court was on for 9 years.
We were just talking about that show. Were you in the office the other day? We were having a discussion about Night Court.
No, I don't think I was. I don't think I was. What were you talking about?
It came up in conversation, and I don't even remember the context, but somebody said, well, that was such a great show.
He's only 65.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really...
And they said he died of natural causes, which I never know what that means.
Yeah. I don't know. And I always hear a question when they say found him in the home.
We were talking about it in our meeting.
We were?
You were talking about
Steve
a movie.
Steve was there, wasn't he, Mary?
He was, Dave. We were talking about a movie. You guys were talking about a movie.
Night Shift.
Night Shift. And I thought we were talking about Night Court, the TV show.
Oh. That could have killed him. John Acosta's here. Didn't you just work with Harry Anders?
Like 6 months ago. So we were at Zany's.
He was in town here.
Came in for a special show, and it's the second time I work with him. I'm absolutely shocked.
I always felt like he was a better magician than he was a comedian.
Oh, no question about it.
And he was a really good magician.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Didn't he own a music store in New Orleans?
I think.
A magic store.
Is there?
I think it was a magic. Yeah, yeah, I didn't know where it was, but yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. Natural causes at 65 does not sound
right. Doesn't sound right.
Right.
Doesn't sound right.
I could see it at 85, but 65, no.
We'll see.
I don't know how many people remember this. He used to be a regular, not a cast member, but a regular on Saturday Night Live. He was on a ton, and he was great on Saturday Night Live. And I think it was before he got Night Court, and I think that led to Night Court.
You know, I kind of do remember that.
He popped
the first
up all the
year
time
or something like that. He came out
early 80s.
You know, something like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Harry Anderson gone at 65. Quick. Let's see what else I have for you today. How about this story? Chicago's second tallest skyscraper, a tapering shaft of metal and glass that will soar above the historic Tribune Tower where we are now sitting.
I think
and
it's
be only 29 feet shorter than Willis Tower.
Where our cars are parked, mm-hmm. I believe. Yeah. This is where this is going to be, right behind us.
That's the plan. What is now the parking lot for this place will be a brand new building. Which means I'm going to be parking in the lobby.
Right. Yeah.
Well, there's 700 residences and 200 hotel rooms that's going to be, so I'm sure they'll have parking somewhere.
Yeah, where are they going to park? They're going to have to build underground to park all these people.
That number sounded weird to me, too, because 700 residences and 200 hotel rooms, isn't that normally flipped? Like you'd have 200?
Right. I would think so.
Residences and
700 hotel rooms?
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be a garage.
Yes.
Got to be.
But where are you going to put the garage? We're out of space.
Part of this building, I think, is going to be the garage.
No, I mean, under the building.
It's going to have, it's going to have 500 spots.
They're going to dig down a giant hole?
No, I think they're going to develop part of this back of this building for...
Well, that's where the hotel's
going. That's where the skyscraper's
going.
That's where the hotel's
going.
Well,
part of it, but they're going to build... The way I saw the plans last night looked like...
What, are you an investor?
No, but it's in the newspaper this morning, the full details of it. I mean, and the it looks like part of this building will become a garage. Like, the back part of the building, they'll either build something new, and then the skyscraper's going to go behind that.
It's a big investment, kids.
It's a lot of big space investment. It's an ugly building, too. Can I just say that?
We're just bitter because we're moving. Actually, the new place looks fantastic. The new studios where they're coming together.
So excited.
Beautiful.
About it.
Yeah, looks really cool. And, you know, architect Todd Manley's been working on that for a while.
Oh, for a long time. He has with his hot hat.
Massage chairs.
When was the last time you had heat without coal?
Well, this building, I feel badly for the guys in the ship downstairs who row to make sure that the place stays warm.
I thought you were going to just stop at when was the last time you had heat? Because that would have been a great question,
Nobody
too.
Knows. Next, a customer left a $2,000 tip at Boca Restaurant in Chicago. What is Boca?
Boca's one of the... it's a restaurant. It's actually a restaurant group. Boca Restaurant
Boca
Group.
Boca de Bupo?
They own a bunch of different
Boca
restaurants.
Boca de Bapo?
But one of the restaurants is called Boca. Yeah.
Mike from Seattle tipped $300 on his $769 meal. That's about 40% before going into the kitchen and giving each of the 17 kitchen staff members a $100 bill. That's $1,700 plus his $2,000 tip. So for the $769 meal, he left an additional almost $4,000.
Very generous.
It was amazing to have that happen unexpectedly and randomly for someone to show that amount of appreciation, said John Leopold, the Boca general manager. It's not just about the money, but spending time with people in the kitchen, telling them how wonderful a meal it was and how important it was for the cooks to be doing what they're doing. And we don't know who Mike from Seattle is, but that's very nice.
Very generous.
Very nice. Kind of makes the rest of us look like kind of skimpy tippers.
I don't know. I'm a pretty good tipper.
So am I.
Yeah,
but I'm not a $2,000 tipper.
He's not going to write that off like on his business expense, is he?
Sure.
Yeah, convenient timing with tax day.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
The day before.
I think you have to do it before December 31st.
Charity. Welcome to the Cynical Show, 6:18. We'll just leave it. It was a nice thing to do. Kid will be coming up.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Sir, why did you wait until the last minute to pay your taxes?
Taxes? Isn't this the line from Metallica?
Sir, why did you wait until the last minute to pay your taxes?
Because I'm an idiot. Happy?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Let me tell you how it will be.
It's 6:22. Text question is this. You know what I'd like to deduct? If I could deduct, I would. 312-981-7200. I'm certainly not advocating that you fudge your records or your change your ethics. But what would you really like to be able to deduct? What do you really think you should be able to deduct?
Tickets.
Taxes. The speeding tickets?
Parking tickets, speeding tickets, red light camera tickets.
So anything you do illegally you'd like to be able to deduct?
Just tickets.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't had one in a while, but...
You're due?
It's kind of like when you get one, it piles on. Isn't it? You know, you get a red light camera, then a few weeks later you get another. Hypothetically.
Right, not
speaking,
you.
Of course, right.
Not you specifically.
Yeah.
And you're donating to the cause already.
Right.
Right?
You got something you want to deduct? Because that actually makes sense if you're paying in.
Right.
You ought to be able to deduct. Of course, it sort of encourages criminal activity. Like I'm a little short on deductions and, you know, maybe I run a few red lights and try to get stuff.
You're still paying in. It's still win-win.
I think recycling stuff you recycle, you should be able to deduct.
Yeah, something you make an effort to do. Yeah.
You're going out of your way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not that far.
But how would you keep track of that?
I help a lot of little old ladies across the street. Can I deduct them or take them as dependents?
If you buy them a cup of coffee, I think you should be able to.
Mm. What about bagels? You think they'd let me deduct bagels?
It's a business expense for you.
Mm-hmm. It is?
Oh, sure.
It is.
Is that?
Sure.
Sure.
Man, we're your dependents. Because we count on them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, actually, I wrote all of you down as dependents.
As dependents?
Yeah.
So you claim like six.
Yeah.
You guys deduct all your stuff to Goodwill, don't you?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, last year, this is surprising, but last year when I added it up, I gave over $4 million worth of goods to Goodwill.
Okay. That is funny, though, because when
all in one car.
Mr. Sands was in, that's what he said. He goes, oh, yeah, I donated my couch. It's worth $5,000.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Right. Wink, wink.
What would you like to deduct? Huh? What would you like to deduct? What do you deserve a tax break on? 312-981-7200 is the number. You thought Sean Hannity was having a bad day. We almost got wiped out. You know about this? We should feel lucky. An asteroid came within. Steve, stand by. You're in outer space. Steve Grzanich, our outer space correspondent. An asteroid came within 120,000 miles of Earth.
Oh, my God.
120,000 miles of Earth, Steve. That's about from here to you, isn't it?
No, that's a long way. It's farther than that. It's probably from maybe here to the river.
Okay. But in outer space terminology, that's a close call.
It is the close call, yeah. It's between here and the moon.
A flying boulder whizzed past us Sunday without incident. Here's the problem. Scientists didn't see it come until about 15, 20 seconds before it whizzed by. The asteroid named 2018 GE3 was the size of a football field, measured about 361 feet in diameter. Asteroids are generally small and dark and be hard to predict when one will approach, and we really don't have a comprehensive plan what we do about it anyway. But about half the distance between us and the moon, this asteroid flew by. Telescopes used by NASA generally on the lookout for bigger ones. But rest assured, an enormous asteroid, if we're on the way to Earth, NASA would let us know so we could go. Now what?
Well, you hope, right? I mean, we're looking for all the asteroids, the big, they're called near-Earth objects, and we've been able to spot a lot of them, but this shows that we haven't spotted all of them. And
but we don't have a plan.
We do not have a plan, no.
I mean, I don't know that I'd want to know.
I think I'd go rob a bank or something.
Oh, God.
Well, that doesn't seem productive.
And you can't write that off, Steve.
No,
just FYI.
No, but I would enjoy my last few moments. I'd want to know it was my last few moments so I could enjoy it.
So we don't know when these are going to strike, though, do we?
Well, we do know this. There's an asteroid that's 10 times the size of the one I just described. It's called, they don't have a name for it, but it's going to approach the planet in 2036. As of right now, they don't know if it's going to hit us or not. And if it does, it would wipe the planet out.
Oh, man. Wouldn't you like to be the person who names the asteroids? Names all the stars?
I don't know that I'd sleep well at night if I had to. If this were my job to find all these things.
How about naming them? That's a small pressure.
Naming would be cool. Bob.
Yeah. Phil the asteroid, Bob the asteroid.
It's 238,000 miles to the moon. So this gives you a sense of this. If this were 130,000 miles, you know, that's pretty close. Mm. Pretty close.
Because it's the idea of physics is physics, huh? Write that down.
Physics is physics.
When a rock hits the Earth that size, the released energy would be enough to really end it for all of us.
I would think so. Right?
So, All it takes is a 30,000-foot-long rock, like the one being described in 2036. Now, it's 2018 now, which means we've got 18 good years left.
Oh, yeah.
So, enjoy it. So, 17 years from now, I'm planning a huge party. Everyone's invited. Texter's time chiming in. What do you want to deduct? My Starbucks tab for the year.
Oh, that's not bad. It's too bad that... You know what? That's not a bad idea, because caffeine fuels you and gives you the ability to perform your job.
It allows you to be more productive in society.
Exactly.
I'll consider it. Okay. I'll take it under advisement.
I like that one.
224, I'd like to deduct this presidency. I don't think that's a tax item. 224, I'd like to deduct my dog's pet expenses.
Yeah, make them a dependent. I'd love to make my dog a dependent.
I think that's legit. I agree. Yeah.
Don't you think that's been done?
What do you mean? Illegally?
People. Yeah, well, it wouldn't be legal. Sure. But don't you think
you'd say your children are furry?
Yes. I mean, how would you?
Most dogs have real names now, so you just write down, you know,
our dog
Fred.
Katie's in a private school.
What if you have dogs and children and you get to decide? You get to pick one. Pick one. It's either the kids or the dog.
This is a good argument for naming your dog something like a human name and not Spot or Fluffy.
Child support. Can't you deduct child support? I thought you could.
Apparently not.
Wow. Apparently somebody's still in
the
well.
Back of the room. She's not bitter at all.
We need to get her out of the well.
Dave ought to be able to deduct his kale, says a 708 texter.
Yeah, I agree.
815, you ought to be able to deduct sales tax. And 630, this could be from Dave as well. You ought to be able to deduct gin.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not.
Sales tax actually makes sense.
And that does make sense.
You know, it's tax on tax on tax.
It's a double tax.
Ridiculous. Right.
How would you keep track of it, though? That's the hard part.
Every single receipt ever.
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 Every stack of receipts, sky high.
If you live in Chicago, it's tax on tax on tax on tax on tax on tax.
I'd be happy with just a 10% tax rate. That'd be like a corporate tax cut for people. That'd be kind of nice.
So just 10% across the board?
Yeah, that'd
flat
be something.
Yeah, and
flat.
Some states don't have it, like Minnesota.
I'm telling you right now that there's no question that our politicians could figure this out by noon. At 6:30, back with the big story. How about that? Remember the big story? Oh, those are the days. The headlines next. 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
You know, we have talked about this many times on the program, but I want to hear from everybody on this show to see if any of us could have qualified for Kid of the Week. So think back to when you guys were kids. What's the nicest thing? I'm being serious now. The nicest thing you did or the best thing you did as a kid. And let's say Wally or Bob Collins or Spike had done Kid of the Week. So that should cover everybody on the show, including Super Joe. What would you have said was your Kid of the Week nomination, or what would somebody have said about you? Think back and be serious now. What did you do that was a nice thing you did as a kid? Let's see if anybody on the show is good enough to be Kid of the Week, where you can go to WGNradio.com now and you can tell us about a great kid that's doing something great. And again, it doesn't have to be world-changing. It can be life-changing for that kid. It can be life-changing for your family. I said when I started this many, many years ago, that this could be as simple as a kid that's been getting C's who has worked his or her way up to an A. It could be something where you couldn't get a kid to do anything, and they turned their life around, and now they're doing everything. Could be a kid that had a problem. You know, maybe you got a kid that's got an addiction problem. The kid's okay now. So go to WGNradio.com. Tell us about great kids. And we got one on the phone right now. It's Caitlin Blaha. Am I pronouncing that right, Caitlin?
Yes.
How are you today?
Good.
And you're 15?
Yeah.
Make you a freshman or a sophomore?
Sophomore.
What's the best thing about your life, Caitlin? What do you love about your life?
My friends and my family.
Nice. Nice. And brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
Older, younger? How many?
Two younger siblings.
Oh, boy. You got to take care of them, I bet, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. How old are they?
My sister is 13 and my brother is 9.
And is your brother fun, or is he the kind of brother that you go, boy, I'd love to just tie him up for a while?
Both.
Yeah, it depends on the day, probably, right?
Yeah.
What do you do for fun when you're not at school?
Babysit.
Oh, you like kids?
Yeah.
Is it babies or older kids or a little bit of both?
Both.
Well, good for you. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I don't know. know, something in business probably.
Like a major, super successful entrepreneur type, maybe the new inventor of whatever Amazon is at that point?
Yeah.
That'd be okay, right? That'd be cool?
Yeah.
All right, Caitlin, so here we go. Let me brag about you a little bit. Caitlin started a Blessings in a Bag program for Hawthorne Elementary in Wheaton. The program provides healthy food on weekends to kids everywhere who might otherwise not have enough to eat. Hawthorne has 100 kids who qualify for the program. How much are you looking to raise here?
$11,000.
And where are we now? Do you know what the number is right now?
It's like around $1,300.
That's a good start. Nothing wrong with that. That's a very good start. And now this this Blessings in a Bag. What's in the bag?
It has two breakfasts, two entrees, and two snacks for the kids.
Very nice. So it covers them to make sure they're feeling good. Because, you know, Andre, I don't know if you know this. You can't focus if you're hungry.
I know.
You can't focus on school. You can't focus on doing the right thing.
Very true.
Say hi to Caitlin.
Caitlin, this is such a wonderful idea. How did you come up with this idea, with the inspiration to do this?
Well, I'm working on my Gold Award project, and we have to solve a problem in our community that is sustainable for years to come. And I wanted to help the kids in my community. And so my dad found this Blessings in a Backpack program. And all you had to do was find a school that had a bunch of kids to qualify for it. And
so it goes.
Yeah.
How do the kids qualify? Do they go online, or how do they even register so you know about them?
The kids at the school, if they're on the free or reduced lunch program, that's how they qualify. So if they already need money help.
And have you been able to talk to these kids yourself so you can see the good you're doing?
No, I'm not. No one is allowed to talk to the kids. It's completely private to the family.
Yeah, it makes sense. Totally makes sense.
Caitlin, that's such a cool idea, too, because you're putting healthy food in there. I mean, how easy would it be to get a bunch of potato chips and Doritos, but you're actually putting healthy food
in there. Are you talking about my program, Cheetos in a Bag?
No, not your program, Caitlin's program.
That's a whole different bag, and that's not helping anybody.
Right, Caitlin? You're doing, like, the fresh foods, too, so they can eat healthy.
Yeah.
That's neat. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's fantastic.
Is a little sister, little brother helping, or are you at least inspiring them to do their own thing when the time comes?
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, well, make sure they know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Caitlin, who do you want to say hi to? Do you want to you want to say hi to any teachers or friends or anything before we hang up?
Sure.
Like who? Go ahead. Go ahead. Shout them out.
Mrs. Zeller, I think, is listening.
Okay. And who is Mrs. Zeller, one of your teachers?
She's my Girl Scout leader. So she's been helping me with my project and, like, learning how to be able to do all this.
All right. And how about a friend? You got a friend you want to throw out? Too many to mention, I suppose.
Yeah, there's too many.
It's a good problem to have. And who is Jennifer Wiley? Because she's the one that told us about you.
I think she's a parent at Hawthorne.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, that's cool.
Very nice. So somebody that you're not even tight with who recognize what you're doing. That's a good thing. Caitlin, it's an honor to have you on the program. And Super Joe, remind me, but I believe you've won a gift card from our friends at Apt Electronics. Go get some new headphones if you want, or whatever else you want to pick up at Apt. And Lou Malnati's Pizza at loumalnati's.com. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
All right, hold on. Nice kid, huh?
Oh, my God. How
very nice.
Is that?
Blessings in a Bag. All right, the challenge is on.
Okay.
What good did you guys do as kids? And I'll chime in as well.
Good.
All right. Think of the best thing you did as a kid, and let's decide if, in fact, you would have qualified for Kid of the Week. Oh, by the way, Abigail Grace Cochran.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, world's greatest grandchild.
What'd she do?
We had our first standoff yesterday.
Why?
Is she in the Terrible Twos?
Nah, she's never terrible. But we definitely had a standoff.
I could probably guess who won, though.
Well, we'll find out, won't we? I'll tell you that story coming up.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
This is not a Kid of the Week thing. This is a cool story about a kid. The world's largest replica of the Titanic in Legos. A 10-year-old kid did a Lego replica of the Titanic. This is before it sunk. In Reykjavik, Iceland. You've been there?
Yeah, Reykjavik is awesome.
This 10-year-old boy did this. Lego fans can spot it at the Titanic Museum attraction if you're in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee this week. 56,000 Lego bricks.
This is so cool.
Kid's 10.
Cool looking.
5 feet tall, 26 feet long. Not the kid, the actual model. His name is Brynjar Carl Biggeson. He did it 5 years ago, and they've been able to get, what, they glue it? I don't know how it's still together.
They must have put like a shellac on it. It
took 700 hours over the course of 11 months. Not going to get awesome. You kid of the week, but man, that's a lot of focus, youngster. And by the way, the young man has been diagnosed with autism, and this has been a wonderful thing in his life to help him focus on something that takes him out of what might be called a shell by some people.
Mm-hmm. It's remarkable to see.
It's cool stories. All right, so yesterday I'm hanging with Abigail Grace because I'm blessed.
Yes, you are.
This beautiful little girl that I get to call my grandchild, because she is. I don't just make that up. And Monday afternoons, it's Pops time. She calls me Pops. We hang out. We have a good time. She is now 2 years and she's almost 2.5.
Okay.
She'll be 2.5 in June. So 2 years, 4 months.
Yeah.
And yesterday we had our first standoff.
Okay, what happened?
Well, she likes to watch Elmo, and so do I, because I lose track, and I don't want anybody to ruin it for me, because I don't know how it ends. I like to binge watch Elmo and not tell her.
Don't give it away.
Right. So we're going to watch Elmo's World, but we're reading a book first. We're doing a bunch of stuff, because she has the attention span that I have, zero. So we're reading Caps for Sale, a classic. Caps for Sale. Guy's walking down the street, got a bunch of caps on his head. You know the story. Come on, everybody knows the story. And I think things at least appeared to be going well. And then before we got to the end of Caps for Sale, she said, "I want to watch Elmo,"
which is her right.
Well, she could, you know, it's a girl's right to change her mind.
Of course, and it's her house too. So,
and she knows how the book ends, right?
Yeah, she's seen it a few times, read it a few times. So I said, "Okay, if you don't want to finish the book, that's okay, but you have to put the book back."
Okay.
So I said, "You have to put the book back," and she said, and this is a quote, "I can't, it's too hard." Complete
so
zero to 60. "I can't, it's too hard."
Yes, she's learning life as a woman early.
Yes,
I just went in the green room. Go ahead.
Complete drama.
She hilarious. Said it just like that.
Exactly.
In her defense, I was in the green room. I tried to put a book away.
Couldn't
it
do it.
Was very hard.
See?
So I said, "Abigail, you can do it. You can do it, Abigail. It's not too hard. You can do it. We're not watching Elmo." And it's killing me, right? Because I want to know what happened to his goldfish, Dorothy. And this went on for like 10 minutes. And what she did was, and this is the first time I've seen this, there's a window in Ross and Lauren's place that looks out on the street in one particular angle, and the couch is situated such that she could sit on the arm of the couch and look out the window.
Okay.
She sat on the arm of the couch, looked out the window, and wouldn't look at me.
Oh, she gave you the cold shoulder.
Yeah, now she wasn't crying or anything, but she's like, "I can't, it's too hard." And then every couple of minutes, she'd go, "Watch Elmo." I go, "Abigail, you got to put the book away." "I can't want to." And then she'd go back to looking out the window. Goes on for about 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then finally she takes the book. She gets off the couch. She takes the book. Looks up, smiles at me.
Oh.
And then takes it over, puts it into the little book rack, and says, "Abigail did it."
Yeah.
Yay.
At which point I thanked her. Yeah, and
gave her a trophy.
I thanked her. Gave her a participation ribbon.
That's good.
Thanked her, came over, and we watched Elmo's World.
So it all worked out okay.
Worked out just fine. But, you know, for that 10 minutes, I had to hold the line.
Right.
Were you, wasn't easy.
Would you call yourself being a little mean at that point?
Not at all.
No. Okay.
Not at all.
There and was that's no, why you spanked her?
No, there was no spanking. Oh, can you imagine that? There was no spanking. But at one point, it was getting stressful. And about 8 minutes in, I thought about going, "I can't. It's too hard."
"Just give me the book. I'll put it away."
You didn't give her that "you're a girl, you can do anything" speech.
No,
you?
No, no. I said, "You thank can goodness. Do it. You
see,
can
I would have given her that
you
speech.
You can
gone.
Do it.
That's right. Stand your ground, girl.
You can do it.
Yeah. Good job, Steve. Yeah, we're proud of you, Steve.
It. Yeah, well, I broke a sweat. There's a lot of pressure. So, all right, Kid of the Week. Does anybody on this show actually have what it takes to qualify for Kid of the Week? Let's start with Andrea.
Okay, well, I was in a little choir when I was in elementary school, and once a week we would go to a senior's home or an assisted living home and sing to the seniors.
How old are you at this point?
Probably first grade, six, seven
That's pretty good.
Years old. And good. I thought, I didn't know if that would qualify for really doing a lot. So this was always a good one. Every year, my mom would have a garage sale and with the neighbors on the block. And so I would try and sell little things, like either a little Star Wars figure or a Matchbox car. We got to keep the money, but we had to give some of the money to the church, because the church has the food pantry, they have the resale shop, they have the school.
Now, the best ending to this is you gave all your money to the church.
I cried when I had to give. I probably made $20 back then, and I thought, oh, that was a lot of money.
And I'm not sure you qualified.
So I probably gave $5 to the church.
So you gave them a cut.
A cut.
You gave the church a taste. But
it's early on giving to charity.
Dave?
You don't like that one, do you?
That's okay.
It's not bad.
I was a really good kid. I was.
That's all you got?
No, it's
seriously,
not all
that's
I
all
got.
You got.
It's not all I got.
What did you do that was Kid of the Week worthy? You hear the Kid of the Week every week. What did you do that was Kid of the Week worthy?
I would get up on Sunday mornings at 5 a.m. I would get on my bike. I would ride a couple of blocks.
Is this where you deliver papers to J. Edgar Hoover? Is that what the story is?
This was your job. Okay,
did you get paid for it?
Well,
that's not doing anything for humanity. How's that doing anything for humanity?
Well, your exact quote was...
See, he wasn't given a charity.
You could be somebody... Maybe you worked hard to get from C to A.
So far, Andrea's ahead.
Thank you, Dave.
So I got A's. I got A's in school. I had a paper route. I was a Boy Scout.
Yeah, cut him off.
Yeah,
unplug his mic. Mary Vandeville, what did you do?
Oh, boy. Let's see. Okay, so in the 70s, there were these things called walks for development. Do you remember those hunger walks?
Yeah.
They were like 33 miles or something.
Yeah.
Ridiculous amount.
Yeah.
I did them for about three consecutive years, I believe I did, and I would drag my poor mother with me.
Right. Well, you're a little kid.
My mom would end up in the bathtub for the next 3 days.
Right, because she had blisters.
Because her feet and my toenails fell off a couple times. They did.
What happened? Now, where did the money go?
It went to Hunger Foundation. Yeah, it was, what was it, American Freedom for Hunger?
Now, see, Dave, here's the difference between your story and Mary's story.
How's that?
She gave the money to certain people that needed it.
I think I did.
You kept J. Edgar Hoover's money.
I was only beginning here. First of all, I used to collect...
Steve, what'd you do?
Me?
Yeah.
When I was in eighth grade, we had a class project where we all had to adopt a shut-in for a... pen pal. We had to become pen pals with the shut-in.
Okay.
The pen pal that I had after the, I think it was like a three-month assignment, we became friends, and I knew her until I was 16 years old, and I would spend time with her, and when I got my driver's license, I would take her shopping and do
her... Well, that's very nice.
Yeah, so for like 3 years, we were friends until
she
died.
Dave, take notes on this. This is what nice people do. Super Joe, what'd you do?
You know, this is going to sound like I'm throwing my teacher under the bus, but when I was a junior in high school, my math teacher was getting a little frustrated with our group as we were getting ready for a big test and kind of needed to take a breather. And so I went up to the board and started to help out anybody who had questions and, you know.
Oh, so you were actually tutoring?
Yep.
Oh, that's good.
Were you good at it?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so you weren't just sucking up to the teacher?
Nope.
Well, look at you.
Yep.
Look at you.
Tutoring. I think that's good.
Sandberg, have you ever done anything nice?
What an open-ended question.
Well, I'm just curious.
I was very nice, and I may have been a little scary as well.
Okay. All right. Good story.
Well, wait, what did she do?
No, I think that's the whole story.
Oh, okay. Which was a great story.
John, what about you?
Eighth grade. Had 13 kids in our graduating class. We wanted to go to Washington. Six of them couldn't afford to go. So I bought candy and chips wholesale and sold them
to raise money for them.
And the good news is all six kids went. Bad news is I gained 68 pounds.
Wow.
Well, you were supposed to buy it all yourself.
No,
and
but
eat it.
It was cheap.
That's very impressive. Now, these kids are going to Washington.
Yes, we took our bus trip to Washington.
Okay, but what I understand is the last kid actually rode Dave's bike because Dave lived in D.C. at that point.
Yeah, that's true.
I welcomed those kids with open arms to Washington.
Yes, yes. Dave was part of the greeting
committee. Outside of the Roy Rogers roast beef place, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, on Wisconsin Avenue.
Yeah, now you guys didn't ask, but I did trick-or-treat for UNICEF.
I was trying to say that. You cut me off.
Yeah. Well, okay, before you heckle, maybe listen to the rest.
Yeah.
Trick or Treat for UNICEF and the Jerry Lewis Labor Day carnivals.
Yeah.
You
know,
oh, sure.
Dave, you can't have these ideas because I said them.
Yeah. Oh, I did these things. I didn't think they counted.
What do you mean they don't count?
Because they weren't big enough.
But here's what I did. I stood up to bullies the throughout my childhood.
Yes.
And I stood up to bullies all the time. And one of the bully stories was I was about 10. This kid was about 12. He was mean to a couple of special needs kids. And I may have missed part of the lesson in standing up to bullies because I punched him in the face.
Right.
So that may have been the part of the story that I missed, you know, completely. Yeah. But overall.
But at least you stopped the bullying.
Yes.
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 See?
You guys tell me, but I got to say, I think Grzanich and John. I think you're second. I think Grzanich and John.
Ah, cool.
I think you guys are both kids of the week.
Very nice.
Steve, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Do I get something?
Thank you. Like
Mary, you're second.
I lost my toenails.
Yeah. No, that was your mom. Your mom lost her toenails.
No, I did too.
Ooh, I wish I'd known that when the judges were thinking. Let's come back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Crank this up. I need this morning. I'm getting up to a little James Brown. Papa don't make no mess. They don't write them like this anymore. Andrea, Papa don't take no mess.
I know he doesn't. Or I'm sorry, I know he don't.
7:17. I'll tell you what we're going to do here. We're going to catch up. And then Pat Brady was nice enough to join us this morning because there's an event coming up Friday night that he is a big, big supporter of. And we think it's very cool. And a former guest on the program is the guy that started this. And a couple of real heroes will be there as well, and we'd like you to attend or contribute to the cause. It is called Tuskegee Next. It's coming up. But let me give you a quick list of a few more of these tax deductions before we press forward to that, and then Pat will tell you all about it. These are things that people want to deduct on their taxes, okay? That's the question of the day. What do you want to be able to deduct on your taxes? 847, I ought to be able to deduct the hush money I paid on behalf of Michael Cohen.
Oh,
that's good.
There you go.
Listeners are involved with Michael Cohen as well. 214, medical supplies I buy for other people.
That's actually a very good one.
Fair thing.
I would think.
312, everything. I like that.
I like that
everything.
One too.
Yeah. 224, I live in a house with four males. Toilet paper.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
312, want to deduct my three puppies and get the education credit because they're smarter than my kids. 630, the critters that dig holes in my backyard that I then have to pay to repair. Critter damage. Critter.
You know, that seems fair.
The standard critter deduction.
Critter credit.
Critter credit.
There you go, yeah. Maybe insurance has something like that.
312, liquor.
A lot of liquor going on.
309, vehicle registration fees.
Although
yeah,
you'll be able to do that.
Can't you deduct, I think.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Of course you can't deduct that or your city sticker or your state registration.
847, gas for my car. Well, you know, got to pay for some things. 708, I'd be able to get $100 deduction for voting. You know, like you get a sticker. If you get a sticker, you get to take $100 off your taxes.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah.
Why would you? You shouldn't be paid to vote. Vote.
Yeah, but you're looking for an incentive.
Right.
That's what we have to do. We have to pay America to vote now.
I still think the liquor and the caffeine could somehow add to work productivity.
And voting?
Voting, of course, yeah.
Mulch. Well, it's that time of year. You got to be able to deduct your mulch. Standard mulch deduction. Window treatment so we can't see what's going on in your house. Right?
Oh.
It's good for the community. You get new window treatments. Window treatments are very expensive.
Yeah.
People don't want to see what you're doing in there. Window treatments.
And conserves power.
Right.
Yeah, the green tax credit.
Let's see, 815, just a 10% tax across the board. This is what Steve said earlier. 630 from a teacher, like to be able to deduct my students. I don't know if that means actually empty the classroom.
Yeah.
773, all the money I spend on weed.
Wow. If it's for medicinal, might be able to.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
224, tolls.
Oh, yeah.
608, my prostitution expenses. Do you know how much heels cost? And then you break them. You know, you're walking, you're carrying one. And Pat, you had a good idea for a deduction. What's yours?
Yeah, this is brilliant. Great. $100 for every time the president tweets.
Every time the president tweets, everyone in America gets a $100 tax deduction.
I am so for that. Yeah, yep.
I think most people
would be up $300 already today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is 7:20. Pat will tell you about Tuskegee next in just a second. But what do you want to deduct on your taxes? 312-981-7200 is the number. Dean later. And an amazing woman that I hope has time for us this morning. A single mom who just graduated from law school. And that's just the beginning of her story. That's coming up. We're hoping she's going to be on, but she's doing what today?
She's doing a exit counseling interview at law school, and I just talked to her. I think we're going to talk to her on Thursday at 8:40 so that we're not bumped and she's not rushing.
Right. She's all stressed out?
Yes.
She's got a busy life.
Aisha Champs, though. Everyone saw her. She was all over the news this week. So.
Okay. I look forward to talking to her. Orion later as well, so we'll get to that.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
I know you want to leave me.
I want to play this because Big Chill was on last night. One of the great scenes. Remember the cleaning up the kitchen? 7:26. Pat Brady's here. Here, Pat, every Thursday when we're talking about politics in depth on the program. And Pat is a very generous guy. He doesn't like me to say nice things about him, but he is. And how did you meet the gentleman who started Tuskegee Next?
And I'm stepping in for Steve Davis today. Steve's a very successful...
Got laryngitis or something?
No, he's got the Dr. Most flu.
Okay.
He got round two of the bad...
Oh, he got the bad juju?
Yeah, real bad.
I like how we call it the Dr. Most flu. Because he brought it to our attention.
But how'd you meet him initially?
Well, the setup here, he's a very, very successful African-American businessman, big family man. I think he's had 7 or 8 kids. He lives out in the western suburbs. And he's chairman of the DuPage Airport Authority. And
you're a pilot.
I'm a pilot, and I'm out there. And I'm not exactly sure how I ran into him, but he approached me about an idea he had. And a lot of us are aware of the Tuskegee Airmen.
Sure.
Which were...
Better be.
A black flying group. And in World War II, they were segregated. It was supposed to be an experiment that they wanted to fail.
Because they set it up specifically to fail so they could prove that white people were superior. And this squadron was so exceptional and such heroes. They are legends forever.
Yeah, it turned out everybody was wrong. So Steve's idea was kind of two things, that there are surveys, and everybody knows that these primarily African-American kids in poor economic conditions can't get out. And on the flip side of that is there are 500,000 pilot jobs that will be available in the next 10 years. So he came up with this concept, Tuskegee Next. So we're going to take 10 kids a year, high-achieving, at-risk kids from inner city, take them out to DuPage Airport, put them up for 10 weeks, put them through pilot training program, and get their pilot's license.
How about that?
Great idea, and this is year 4, and every year I think almost all of the kids have gone through the program and actually gotten their pilot's licenses.
Wow.
And you...
And you think about it. You think about a poor kid from the city... wouldn't even consider having a chance to be either a commercial pilot or a FedEx pilot or whatever.
They were in here, I don't know, Andre, you were here. I think Steve, you were gone about 6 months ago.
And well, no, but I met Steve before.
Yeah, I met Steve.
You brought him in here originally.
The kids.
The two young pilots.
Yeah, the one young woman who, as a 10-year-old, used to go watch airplanes take off, and all she ever wanted to do is be a pilot.
Cool as that.
And wasn't she one of the first African-American female pilots, to go through the program?
Of our program, this program, yes, she was. So
isn't that cool?
Yeah, so it's very exciting. The kids are phenomenal. And all been very successful with very few exceptions.
Well, we should have some kind of get-together Friday night to celebrate this.
Well, we are. Funny you should say that, but we needed someone that to host it, and DeCoste wasn't available, so we've got Steve.
So you asked me to. Honestly, it seems like a good second choice.
No, you're the absolute best at this, and the big gala is out at the Illinois Aviation Academy hangar at the DuPage Airport, Tuskegee. Just go Google Tuskegee next if you want to come or contribute.
But did you tell me, I'm not making this up, right? Two of the original Tuskegee Airmen are going to be there?
Oh, yeah. There's a big chapter of the Tuskegee Airmen here.
How about that?
And unfortunately, these guys are in their 90s, and a lot of them are passing very quickly. So there's two that are going to come out. And they call the chapter here the Dodo chapter. And you know why? Because a dodo bird can't fly. And when these guys got out of the service after serving heroically,
they couldn't get jobs.
Oh. Holy cow.
How about that? You're a war hero.
Yeah.
And you can't get hired because you're black.
In the first time we did this event 4 years ago, and then seven or eight of them walked into the room, and everybody in the room was starstruck just to meet these
guys. Of course.
I mean, this is living history.
That's goosebump stuff.
It is. It was really goosebump stuff.
That's very cool. So it's going to be Friday night.
Friday night.
At the what hangar? Well, I guess it's the hangar people are at Friday night.
Yeah,
it's not that big an airport.
What a cool venue. I mean, so it's actually going to be in the hangar?
Yeah.
Yeah, the theme is Night in Havana. So it's very nicely done. There's some planes out there to look at, too. But and Billy Williams.
Yeah, Billy's going to be honored.
We always honor someone. And Steve, you always do a great job with this. And we hope to raise enough money to get this class through.
Well, my hope, if I'm put on this planet for one reason, it's to take money from rich people.
That's fun at the end when you really bang on them.
Isn't that great? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Nobody gets money out of at an auction like Steve Cochran.
No,
does.
No. Listen.
You'll leave there and go, how did I
You've done well. You're leaving some behind.
How did I just donate $1,000?
Thank you very much for doing this, because
it's my pleasure. Are you kidding me?
It's a big deal. These guys, to see them.
I love the story.
Yeah.
And to have these kids get this kind of opportunity, it's really visionary by Steve, because when he first brought it up to you, my response would have been, wait, because it doesn't necessarily connect. You go, you're going to take kids from the inner city and you're going to teach them how to be pilots. Those are two different worlds. Well, that's why it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a kids that need an economic opportunity, and there's a need and a place for them to go to better their lives and a very cool career. It'd be kind of cool to fly around a 787, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and whatever dream a kid has in the inner city, why shouldn't they have the same shot? That's what it's about.
Yep.
So
it's all Steve Davis's idea, and he's really he's a great example of hard work and success. He also played football at Tennessee, Dave Bennett, for Johnny Majors.
He's good. He's good.
Good.
Yeah. First time I met him, he just threw me against a wall. So, but I get that a lot. TuskegeeNext.org.
Just Google Tuskegee Next.
Okay. Tuskegee Next. Get information on Friday night's event. We hope to see you there. And if you can't make it Friday, kick a little cash in.
There you go.
Okay.
And thanks to WGN, Steve, and you guys for supporting us. Thank you.
Of course. Pat Brady will rejoin us on Thursday. We'll talk about whatever's happening politically by then. I would guess most of Fox, CNN, and MSNBC will be named in some sort of indictments by that Thursday. But right now, let's take this quick break. Come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It is 7:42. Steve Cochran Show continues. Show number 1,126 at Cochran Show on Twitter. Follow me there, Facebook.com, Steve Cochran Show. Taxers, what do you wish you could deduct? What do you want to deduct? Forget about the legal stuff. If you could, would you, and what would it be? Okay? That's the text question, 312-981-7200. Pleased to have back in studio Dr. Bal Nandra, who is really changing the world one patient at a time. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Steve. Great to be back.
Nice to see you again. I know you're very busy with, what's the name actually? Is it Ketamine Solutions?
IV Solution.
IV Solution,
yes.
Sorry. Explain to people what ketamine is.
So ketamine is an anesthetic drug that was developed 50 or 60 years ago that we've been using for that long in humans. But now it's been shown in the last 5 or 10 years to be very effective against a lot of mental illness like depression and PTSD, anxiety, as well as chronic pain conditions.
So you're a trained anesthesiologist. When did you first hear about this?
Absolutely. Yeah, I trained at the University of Chicago. I first heard about this about 2 or 3 years ago.
Were you skeptical?
Cautiously optimistic, I guess.
Good.
But looked into the studies, and the studies were quite very impressive, actually, showing really high success rates.
I don't expect you to give me a medical degree in the course of this 10 minutes or so, but can you give me a layman's explanation on why it works?
Well, ketamine works very specifically in blocking a cell receptor called the NMDA cell receptor in our brains, and it's a cell receptor that, you know, for lack of better terms, kind of goes haywire after the stress of mental illness and chronic pain, and ketamine regulates that receptor, and in that way, it really seems to be very effective for helping with depression.
We're going to get you, first off, we got to get you a pair of headphones that don't attack you. Sorry about that, but you don't need those. You can just talk to me. I suppose because depression, you know, is under the umbrella of a mood, but it's physical as physical manifestations, along with emotional manifestations. This seems to work on an awful wide range of things.
It sure does, and that's what we're finding out. In fact, a study I just read a few days ago showed that ketamine actually may even be effective for preventing cell death after, like, traumatic brain injury. So it could even have a role in things like that, like concussions and things like this, and preventing the cell death that occurs after an injury like that.
And this is you plug into an IV for 45 minutes, six sessions over a couple of weeks, and you'll know fairly quickly whether it's going to work for somebody.
Yeah, most people respond, like, within the first one or two treatments. Three at the very most, and they can have a very dramatic response that quickly, so within a week.
So it can really be life-changing. Now, a couple of questions that maybe are obvious, maybe they're not. If I am taking an antidepressant of some kind, a prescription drug, do I continue that while I do the ketamine?
Absolutely. We don't really change your medications unless it's a specific medication that I know will affect our infusion and the ketamine. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we leave you on your medications throughout the whole course.
And any side effects we're aware of in the ketamine treatment?
Not really. Another recent study just came out where they followed patients out for well over 2 years who had been getting, you know, ketamine and then the ketamine booster shots, and they had no significant side effects at all.
Do the number of treatments vary per person? Is it just based on what you're treating them for? So, for example, Steve might get five a week. I would get two. It just does it depend on each person?
She's not lying. I'll need five.
Hypothetically, of course. Yeah.
Well, depression is the protocol for depression is pretty much six treatments. Some patients do eight, but it's typically six treatments over 2 weeks, and that kind of puts you into remission. And then after that, a maintenance infusion can be every month, every few months down the road.
So it depends on how you respond.
Exactly.
Okay. Is insurance starting to pick up on this? Are they starting to pay attention? It takes forever to get approval for that type of thing.
Very little, because ketamine is not FDA approved for depression specifically. It's pretty hard.
By the way, neither is every supplement you pick up that you don't know where it came from, yeah, and all this stuff. We're talking about legitimate research behind ketamine.
Exactly. A lot of research. All the research is done at the National Institutes of Health and National Institutes of Mental Health.
Oh, what do they know?
Exactly.
Would you recommend it for women who are either premenopausal or postmenopausal, either just with mood swings or symptoms or anything of that sort of pain associated with that?
It's definitely more for clinical type depression.
Okay.
It has been used very successfully for postpartum depression, however, so that's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is interesting.
So you have people that come to you now because you've gotten a lot of pub on this, and you should. I mean, you've been on this show a couple of times because I'm fascinated by it. But you've gotten a lot of people, I assume, that come to you, and some aren't right for it. How do you know they're not right for it? Do you have to go through a treatment, or is there a certain category of people, like Andre just mentioned, that this just isn't for you?
Well, I work closely with a professor of psychiatry out of Baylor College of Medicine who's a pioneer in this, and his thought and my thought is that if you have clinical depression, you are a candidate for this.
Okay.
Almost regardless of what else you have going on. The only patients we really should not treat are patients who have, like, you know, schizophrenia, patients who have really active psychotic illness, because it can potentially exacerbate that, although there's even some second thinking on that now that it actually might be safe in those patients also.
What about OCD? Work for OCD?
Absolutely does work for OCD. I've had some really good outcomes with OCD, yes.
And when it comes to pain management, things like rheumatoid arthritis, things like that, or is that a different category?
Yeah, rheumatoid arthritis potentially, but things like fibromyalgia. A large recent study came out just last fall for refractory intractable migraine headaches, and I've had some phenomenal success with migraine headaches.
Wow.
Treating people with a history of 10-year history of migraines, unrelenting and untreatable, and after 5 days of infusions, they're virtually gone.
We had a talk yesterday about depression versus bipolar and receiving the proper diagnosis. So if somebody wants to come to you for a treatment of depression or whatnot, do they have to be diagnosed by a psychologist before they come to you and say, I'm being treated for either bipolar or depression, whatever it might be?
Absolutely, okay. Yes. We only treat diagnosed patients. So if you don't have a diagnosis, you should go see a doctor and get a diagnosis, whether it's a psychiatrist or whether you want to do that with your family doc.
So you're looking for referrals as opposed to walk-ins?
Well, patients are still walk-ins, but if they do want to be treated, we always confirm their diagnosis with their caregiver.
Right. I know this is hard to describe, but I'd like to take people through the difference in how they feel. So if somebody comes in and they've been diagnosed with clinical depression, maybe they're taking a particular script or not, and we're going to talk to somebody who's gone through the treatment here in just a second. How are they going to change in the way they feel over the course of the treatment over the 2 weeks?
So it can be quite dramatic. Some patients, one of the first things they see is what I see is if patients have a history of suicidal thoughts and suicidal type of thinking, that's usually one of the first things that diminishes, like literally after the first treatment. And then what patients start seeing is just increased focus, increased clarity. They catch themselves doing things they wouldn't normally do, catch themselves doing more social things. They catch themselves going out to dinner. And one gentleman recently said, I'm actually enjoying music again. He used to enjoy music. He got depressed. He kind of got sick of it. Now he's like back into music.
So this receptor that you're talking about that tends to cycle the darkness, it's impacted by the ketamine.
Exactly.
It's a fascinating thing. Want to meet your friend Jason here in just a second. Mm-hmm. Stand by, more coming up. If you want information on IV Solutions, what do people do?
You can go to www.ketaminechicago.com.
KETAMINE.
Exactly.
KetamineChicago.com. And, one of these situations, or this is one of the situations where you go, come on, can it be that easy? Yeah. And this feels like the biggest breakthrough we've had in depression discussion in my lifetime. So it's one of those things that, again, I'd encourage people to at least pick up the phone, call you, or come and see you to see if it's something they should get into.
Exactly. We're always there to help you.
All right, stand by. More with the good doctor and our new friend Jason here. And just, we'll find out if he likes us in just a second.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
The guest is our friend, Dr. Balnundra, trained at the University of Chicago as an anesthesiologist a few years ago. Hears about the positive effects of ketamine as a treatment for depression and much, much more. Decided to take this on as a business, is having wonderful success and literally turning people's lives around. And, Doc, before we ask you a few more questions, introduce this young man.
So with us today we have Jason, one of our treatment successes. Jason and I have been friends for a number of years, so it was truly actually completely accidental that I even knew he was suffering from depression and anxiety. And so it was a great thing to be able to treat him.
Yeah, to be able to help a friend.
Be able to help him out, absolutely.
Well, Jason, first, thanks for coming on and talking about your life.
Yeah, thanks for having me in.
What were you dealing with?
I've had a lifelong battle with depression and then, you know, more anxiety, I think, which led to the depression. You know, when I was younger, when I was diagnosed with depression, I don't think that there was an anxiety diagnosis. And as I got older, I realized that anxiety was a big cause of my depression. And
what would trigger it?
Oh, God, anything. I, you know, at the time when I was working for a company, you know, just to give an example, I would call my boss on the phone. If he couldn't answer, from the time that I could take the phone from my ear and hang it up, my mind would go from, he's not answering the phone, he's mad at me, I'm going to lose my job, my wife's going to leave me, we're going to lose the house.
So you immediately went worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario. Right. And even as it's happening, you know it's ridiculous, but you can't talk yourself out of it.
Right.
And then you end up kind of in a...
Did you have the physical manifestations then?
Yeah,
the increased heartbeat and
yes.
All of that?
And then you freeze up and then you can't really... You're stuck in this in the zone where you're not really doing anything because you're in a panic mode.
Are you married?
Yes.
This is tough for people who are married to folks like you or I've talked about dealing with depression in my life as well. The spouses have to deal with it, and we're not so easy to deal with at times.
Oh, you know what? The reason I went and sought treatment for anxiety is because I ruined our honeymoon. I spent our entire honeymoon working. While my wife was at the pool, I sat in the cabana on my cell phone because I thought if I wasn't working that the company was going to think they didn't need me and they would fire me as soon as I got back.
So fortunately, she decided to stick around.
Fortunately for me.
Right. So this anxiety, it's not just work-related, though. This would affect you in other situations as well?
Absolutely.
How about social life?
Social life, especially, you know, I've part of the therapy and things that I go through are based on my relationships. I have a fear of always being let go, you know, from things that happened in my childhood. So I was always extremely insecure in my friendships.
Okay.
And to the point where if, you know, somebody wasn't answering a phone or, you know, maybe they went and did, you know,
they'd
my friends
moved
went
on
and did something without me, in my mind, it was over. The friendship was over. And then I needed to move on quickly in order to beat them to it so that I didn't have the letdown of having my friends, quote unquote, break up with me.
So when did you first do ketamine?
Probably about 8 months ago.
And what was the impact on you?
Honestly, it was incredible because it was within, kind of as Dr. Nandra said, within a week or two. It's not that you notice a different feeling. You just notice that life has gone back to normal.
So you don't think, wow, this feels so much different. You think, I'm not thinking the way I used to think.
Yeah. And what happens is after a couple of days, you're like, oh, wow, I've gone out. I've gone, you know, I'm back to enjoying being out with my friends.
I'm not worried about everything.
Like I'm being in the moment. I'm enjoying life. I've got more energy at work, more productive. And you realize that it's happened for a few days in a row, not that. Wow, there's this euphoric feeling of I'm happy and I'm bouncing off the walls. It's just...
Well, that to me makes this more successful, Doc, because if it was a happy and bouncing off the walls thing, it'd feel more like a high than a treatment.
Yeah, it's not artificial at all.
Yeah.
Is it more of a sense of calm?
Yeah. Okay. You feel... The way that I think about it is, this is probably how everybody else goes through life.
Which is great.
And I wish I would have known what this was like through high school and, you know, in my 20s.
Well, your wife's got to be thrilled. I mean, you've been smiling since you walked in here.
Yeah, well, that she's part of it. But yes, she is thrilled. And it's made for a better... Look, the medication, as you guys well know, there's side effects for every medication,
sure.
Whether they're sexual side effects, whether they're physical side effects. And those things, sometimes you have to determine, is it worse to have the depression or worse to have the side effects?
Yeah,
and
because
honestly,
the treatment could be worse than the condition,
that.
Depending on the treatment.
Exactly, because it was affecting my marriage, some of the side effects. And Dr. Nandra...
Honeymoon do-over?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And Dr. Nandra saw... I've been very adamant in the last couple of years about being honest and forthright about depression because I people feel like it's a weak disease and it's something to be embarrassed of. And
listen, I'm glad you brought this up. And Doc, you know how I feel about this. And I've worked in this cause because of, you know, various reasons in my life. But there's no walk it off. There's no snap out of it. When you have clinical depression, you have a disease that's heart disease. It's cancer. It's let's get over it, people. Let's start treating this with the sincerity and the seriousness that we need to treat it with. And this is it. This seems like a legitimate breakthrough, and every day you develop more clinical success stories.
Absolutely. Well, depression is the number one cause of disability and lost productivity in the workplace in the world. And that's
a
statement made by the WHO. So it's got a huge impact, and the stigma just has to be removed or diminished.
By the way, the WHO is the World Health Organization,
yes,
not the band.
Not the band, yes.
Right. Yeah.
There are some celebrities now coming out. I guess Mariah Carey most recently, correct?
Yeah, very courageous.
Last week or so. And so that those kind of things, you know, our celebrities have a big impact on society. So they're definitely helping to somewhat erase that stigma, as well as some athletes that have come out. So I'll give back to Jason.
Well, no, but Jason, I just salute you, dude. It's not easy to talk about it, and you inspire people when you talk about going through this, what you were dealing with. I'm telling you, man, right now, driving around, going to work, whatever, there are thousands of people listening and go, "Well, that's my life,"
well,
and they're tired of it.
It's funny. I was speaking to somebody earlier, and I was saying, you know, with the advent of social media, we're always putting our best foot forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we see that these things, and it looks like everybody has these amazing lives, and I'm very blessed. I have a very great life, and I have a successful business. And all these things. So from the outside, it looks like everything is probably great.
But you'd like to enjoy it more.
I'd like to enjoy it more. But I also think it's important for people that suffer to go, no, 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 no. it may look on the surface like everything's great, but I'm battling a disease each and every day. And there are probably a lot of you that are doing the same thing, and it's okay. And it's okay to go get treatment.
Absolutely.
If you had cancer, you would go get treatment. If you had lupus, if you had any other disease, you would go get treatment and talk about it. And this is something that we hide behind because we think it makes us weak. And
it doesn't. Everybody I've ever talked with that deals with clinical depression, and by the way, including me, it's exhausting. It's physically exhausting. So you feel like you're tired all the time. Have you noticed a change in your energy?
Oh, yeah. I was going to the doctor for a while, talking to my family practitioner about I could take a nap. I could lay down and take a nap at 2 o'clock every day.
Right.
I don't know why I don't have energy. And we were trying to find reasons, whether it was testosterone or whatever.
Yeah, because you're in good shape.
Yeah. And, and this has completely wiped that out. I mean, it's been fantastic.
Look, rarely do you get an opportunity to experience something that really does seem life-changing like this. So I've told you this every time I've talked to you, Dr. Nandra, but I really salute you. You're doing something special there.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. It's been great to help people.
IV Solutions, at least pick up the phone and call and have the discussion. And what's the number?
The number is...
Or do you want to send them to the website? Either way.
Yeah. Yeah. The number is 844-948-6337 or www.ketamineChicago.com. That's KETAMINE Chicago.com.
Jason, God bless you, man. Stay the course.
Thank you. Thanks for having me in.
Great to see you. And Doc, thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve.
News next, 720 WGN.
Far north, northwest suburbs could end up with an inch or two of snow on the ground.
No.
I was hoping you would just ignore this.
No. Enough. Make a call. Tell Skilling to stop it.
It is his fault. He's on vacation, I think.
Yeah, where he's on vacation. He's with his weather machine. Is he just giggling? He's dialing up the snow.
It's terrible. He does this every time.
This is awful.
And, we might get an inch or two, it looks like, Wednesday, early Thursday morning, and an eighth day so far this month with some measurable snow. But we start to dry out Thursday, finally. 43 tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy on Thursday, 45, and then mostly sunny on Friday up to 50. That snow will melt off quick. Cooler lakeside, Saturday partly to mostly sunny, 53. We could hit 60 whopping degrees by Monday. I'm Tim McGill.
Well, what should the temperature be this
60.
Time? 60. There should be 60 degrees.
Yeah, today's the first day of spring where it should average 60 degrees or more.
Are we going to look back at this past 30 days and call this the crap phase? Is there going to be a technical weather term for it?
That's a good one. I think I'm going to put that up for nomination, the crap phase. Yeah. I like that.
Call Tom.
Ooh, crappy. And my question is, does this mean we're going to have a hot summer then, too?
It has no correlation whatsoever.
Ask Skilling what he wants in ransom. I'm willing to pay. Thank you, Tim.
All right, thanks, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
What did I call?
Citizens of the world.
What did I just call our esteemed weather friend from Channel 9?
Tim. May I present to you?
And tonight, guess what?
It's called Tom Skilling.
What's the matter with me? Is my brain frozen by the bad weather? I know it's Tim, but I thought I called him Phil or something.
No.
Wow. Let's go to Dean. Hi, Dean.
Steve, I can't hear my music while you're talking.
Well, I thought I was having a stroke. I thought it was worth bringing up.
What you called the weatherman Tippy? This is how it starts, everyone.
It's 818. Dean is sponsored by Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center. John DeCoss is here, Dean, and it is Dean, isn't it?
Good morning.
And
good to hear your voice, Don.
Hi, Dave.
And I don't know if you noticed, Dean, but we haven't seen much of John lately. Where have you been? I mean, I know you got your knee done, but where have you been other than having your knee done? For those of you who don't know, that means you got a knee replaced, not a hairstyle sort of situation.
Well, this is kind of a big announcement.
No, we don't have time for a big announcement. You have a big announcement?
I have a big announcement.
Oh.
Well.
If this has something to do with New Year's Eve.
Yeah, we haven't gotten a commitment from Dean yet on New Year's Eve.
Oh, I did. I got it on the table when I was having my knee surgically
changed.
Yes.
Yeah, changed out.
Yeah. That was the last thing the doctor said. He's put me under Dean's.
All right, so
he also
Dean's
had to put
in.
Me in his will.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cancel a guest if you want to do your big announcement and say, 20 minutes.
Let's do it in 20 minutes because this is big.
It's a big announcement.
To me. It's very important to me. Yeah.
All right, fine.
All right. Make it happen.
Way to go, people who thought you were going to be on the show today.
Yeah, you're out. Dean, we're taking a text from people who are suggesting deductions on their taxes. 224, feminine supplies.
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess by that
Absolutely.
They mean... Absolutely. Potpourri?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, potpourri.
You know what I mean.
Hair ribbons.
708, my 11 cats.
again, pets. A lot of pet.
But that's
requests.
A lot of cats.
If you have 11 cats, maybe you should be paying us.
That's too many.
I think there's a cap on how many you can deduct.
A cap on cats.
A cat cap.
Yes. You should also be taking a huge deduction on air freshener for your home.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
847, half of our tolls. They don't want to be greedy. Somebody said all of our tolls, yeah. Half of our tolls. Yeah. 847, diapers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I would say a whole Toblerone.
Oh, if you get the big one.
Yeah.
If you get the big Toblerone bar. 847, I'd like to be able to deduct my water bill since I'm contributing to a healthy environment for my grass and trees.
Okay, I agree with that.
Seems logical.
Mm-hmm. And throw the gas bill in, too, while you're doing that.
847, $100 every time Governor Rauner drops a G. Hoo-hoo-hoo! That could get expensive. Oh, yeah. 847, all the snacks I bring to the office. Well, that's your complaint, John. You bring bagels in whenever you're in.
Yeah.
Last year, you spent over $1 million on bagels.
$1.5 million.
Yeah. What about the cakes I bake? Could I do that, too?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
Excellent. It's a new world. We're making up the rules as we go along. Let's see, 203. Well, let me get back to this. Let's start with this one. 773 wine. Dave, stop texting. 262. Every time Steve Cochran insults Donald Trump, every Chicagoan gets $100.
Oh, yes.
Says all Chicagoans would be millionaires.
I take a shot every time that happens.
Yeah.
Immediately, Dean, you understand this. Immediately after that, 262, text this one. 847. I'd like to thank Steve for what he says about Donald Trump, but I'd like to deduct the cost of my anxiety meds because of Donald Trump.
There you go.
Two texts in a row.
Uh-huh. It's fair.
Yeah. 203. My therapy expenses since Trump became president. Well, there's $200 for every Chicagoan just based on those two texts. Mm-hmm.
I like Pat Brady's too, though. Every time he tweets, every American gets a deduction.
Text her 312-981-7200. All right, Dean, I don't know if you know this.
I started deducting. I just finished my tax forms here, as you can clearly hear from the rustling of the paper.
Yeah, that's the special effects we have.
Clown makeup and clown shoes.
Wow. That's going to be a big number for
that's
you.
That's a big expense in my
that
house.
That is a big number.
Yeah.
Khloe Kardashian, John Oliver, Ronan Farrow, Kendrick Lamar, and Harry Anderson, all when Dean comes back. What's coming up at 8:30?
Michael Cohen's mystery third client is? That story and more coming up at 8:30 from the WGN
Radio. I can't say, but it rhymes with Bon Schmanity.
There you go. That's coming up at 8:30 from the newsroom. Mary.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard.
Musical stylings of John Acosta says he has a big announcement in about 10 minutes. Dean Richards rejoins us. So Khloe Kardashian has named her little baby
True
Violetta Podrometic. Did you hear that?
That was the first time you ever said her name.
Violetta Podrometic Kardashian. Is that accurate?
That is untrue.
Oh, okay. All right. What's the actual name?
The actual name is True.
True.
T-R-U-E.
You know the Spandau Ballet song?
We got to stop these people. We have to stop these people.
It's a family name, though, right?
What do you mean it's a family name?
It's like a
much is
true. Dean, this is a family name?
No.
It is. Mary's correct.
What?
It's like Chris's mom's maiden name.
Grandpa.
Or some, grandpa. Okay, yeah. It is somebody's name.
Grandpa True?
Yep.
This is true.
Yeah, Chris, that's true. Yeah.
A loony family.
True.
Yeah, so picture, you know.
I liked them better when they were just making sex tapes.
Christmas 5 years from now. North, what did Santa bring you? Chicago, how about you? True? True?
Yeah.
True.
They go to the mall. The kids run anywhere they want. They sound like mental patients just trying to get them to come back.
Khloe sent out an Instagram yesterday announcing the name, but also saying how happy mommy and daddy are and how much mommy and daddy love her.
She mention that daddy is whoring around?
Yeah, that daddy that was loving somebody else while she was in the last days of her pregnancy.
Man whore.
And that's true, too.
Apparently. Yes.
Apparently.
Allegedly true. All right, so Russell Crowe gets divorced. He's selling everything he stole from the movie sets that he worked on. He's making a bunch of money. Another celebrity picked up something?
Well, they had a big auction, you know, so really anybody could buy some of this memorabilia. But one of the most interesting things that sold was Russell Crowe's leather jockstrap that he wore in the movie Cinderella Man. That was his boxer. You remember when he was a boxer in that movie with Renee Zellweger?
Yep.
The leather jockstrap for $7,000 was sold to John Oliver.
from last week tonight.
Last week tonight.
I got a feeling that's going to be on the show this week.
He was on the show this past Sunday. He bought a bunch of items that he is going to donate to one of the final Blockbuster video stores in Alaska. Apparently, internet service is not so great in Alaska, so it's very difficult to stream Netflix. And,
so there's still a video store?
So there are still video stores in Alaska. Wow. He's donating the leather jock strap when you go to rent a movie and get some Milk Duds. You can also see the...
The weirdest part of that story to me is that Russell Crowe kept it.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Or why that it's leather. It? I mean, are they typically made of leather?
Well, I don't know.
Well, it depends.
Okay.
I don't remember the movie that much, but I mean, I remember the movie, but I don't especially remember a jockstrap scene.
No.
I would think that.
There's nothing key to the plot line.
Uh-uh.
Pulitzers are handed out. This is why I didn't win a Pulitzer. Handed out yesterday. Maggie Haberman and a bunch of writers at the New York Times doing a great job in the era of Trump won a Pulitzer or two. But who are the more interesting ones that you know of?
The more interesting ones, talking about remarkable jobs, Ronan Farrow.
Mm-hmm.
Who
quite the journalist lately
broke the Harvey Weinstein story along with some other writers from the New York Times. They picked up a Pulitzer Prize yesterday, but also the very first rapper ever, Kendrick Lamar, won a Pulitzer Prize. The judges there saying that Kendrick Lamar's music reflects the African American experience in 2018. It's the first. This is in the music category for the Pulitzer Prize. First time ever that a non-classical or jazz musical piece has won a Pulitzer Prize.
And there's a good story about Kendrick Lamar and the Pulitzer in Variety magazine. If you just go online, you could search that. Ray Long from the Tribune won as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Somebody who's not going to be winning, a television news anchor, I forget in what city, who identified Kendrick Lamar, unfortunately, as the basketball player, Lamar Odom.
Oh, God. That's just ridiculous.
Oops.
That's ridiculous.
Oops.
Harry Anderson died. He's only 65 years old.
65 years old. They have not revealed any cause of death. He, his body was found at his home in North Carolina. He was on Night Court for 9 seasons. He was.
I'd forgotten that show ran that long.
Yeah, that was part of the original must see TV lineup,
right.
On NBC. He was on Dave's World, in which he played Dave Barry's on a mm-hmm. whole variety of different television shows. He was here in Chicago in 2014, and we talked with him, and he reflected a little bit on his career.
I was never really an actor. I mean, I was a magician who fell into a part on Cheers, and Brandon Tartikoff saw me on Cheers and thought I was acting, and what a good job I was doing playing a hustler, and... you know, by the time they realized I couldn't act frightened on a subway at 4 a.m., I had a five-year contract. But I'm a magician a performer by nature, and that's always what I've...
Couldn't have been a nicer guy.
Yeah, he was a very nice man. Yeah. Met him several times. Bill and Wendy's had him on last time we were through. John, you just worked with him doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Well, 6 months ago?
Yeah, and also back in 14 when he was in town. So,
yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah, good dude. Sad story. Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center brings you Dean Richards every morning, and we appreciate that. Dean, fine work.
That's John's big announcement.
10 minutes away. I don't know. He's not telling me. News to me. So, monitor it, because you guys are going to want to break in with special coverage this morning on Channel 9.
We're going to break into regular programming for that. I hope we're not into Jerry Springer or anything.
You know, you guys are making fun of this, but this is huge.
Yeah. No, you haven't carried Jerry Springer in years, but
yes, I don't watch.
Thank God.
After the morning show, I don't really watch very much.
Paul Rennie wants to meet with you right now. It's 8:33. Andrea is next. 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
One of my favorites from John DeCoste, and not just because he says my name over and over again. Well done by him. We'll find out what John's big announcement is in just a second. Dave was just mentioning, we should throw out congratulations to our friend Bob Vorwald from Channel 9. They did a great job on the 70th anniversary of WGN covering baseball.
And they ended up doing a two-hour show last night because the Cubs got postponed, and they had... from 7 to 9 o'clock, they just had some great vintage stuff from the old days with Jack Brickhouse and Lou Boudreau and Harry Carey and the more recent stuff.
A lot of memories,
and JD,
huh?
But there was just, I mean, from you know, you see Billy Williams hitting a walk-off home run. You see Chris Bryant hitting a walk-off home run.
Right.
It was span the decades. It was very, very well done.
I started to tell you off the air, when I was growing up in upstate New York, it was the Yankees. And it was Phil Rizzuto and Frank Messer and Bill White.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But the greatest thing about baseball in the 70s to me was Rain-Delay Theater, because there was no highlight package they'd go to. They wouldn't kick it back to the affiliates. The broadcasters would sit in the booth as it was pouring behind them and tap dance until the rain delay was over.
Oh, yeah.
And that was when some of the most entertaining stuff came up. So I'd get Harry occasionally on the Superstation once we, you know, got a little bit of cable, that much. And, you know, Harry just yapping.
Harry loved that. I mean, he was great on rain delays.
Sure.
Anyway, John, it was a great show.
John putting some, and nice job, Bob Vorwell, John putting some final touches on his announcement here. We'll get to it right after we take care of some traffic and things.
Oh, you're going to make us wait.
Yeah. Well, listen, he says he's not quite ready. He'll be ready here in just a second. I'm still getting people texting in things they'd like to deduct on their taxes today. Somebody must have been listening earlier. They want to deduct Cheetos.
Oh, there you go. You're betting Cheetos.
Yeah, Cheetos.
That's right.
You know, it's funny. A funny thing about Cheetos. Cheetos look like they wouldn't be good for you. They're actually healthier than kale. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people don't.
Steve, I don't think that's true.
That's not true.
No. I'm just surprised how many new, like, gourmet recipes have Cheetos in them.
Yeah. What is up with that?
Well, Steve is making a point, Dave, that Cheetos are the healthiest food on the planet.
Just they taste better, that's for sure.
I mean, gourmet stuff isn't necessarily the healthiest stuff.
Right. 773, I want to deduct my property taxes. Give my money back.
Yeah.
$60,000 college tuition for my two kids to nonprofit schools that are spending it on marketing so they can get more students.
Yeah, I think college tuition, that's a good deduction.
College tuition is insane. Yeah. Well, as parents, you can deduct some college. You can't deduct all of it, but you can deduct some expenses. 630, a foreign tax credit for every time Dean or I use a French accent.
I'm all for that. That's great. Because it's entertaining.
More French accents.
It's entertaining and rewarding.
Yeah. And 847, Dave texted again. He says whiskey.
Oh, yeah, a lot of liquor.
But this is whiskey, .. because I just can't even.
How many times has Dave texted in this morning already?
Quite a few.
Couple.
Yeah. Quite a few, yeah. And Abigail texted in and said, I can't, it's too hard.
Which, again, is her prerogative.
All right, we'll find out what John's big announcement is next.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You know what this is?
The grind?
No, this move, this dance move. You know the lawnmower, right?
Uh-huh.
This lawnmower.
Or the sprinkler.
Folding the laundry. The sprinkler. You know what this is?
The hula dance?
Spreading the pizza dough.
Oh, right.
Because they may be the Stretch Armstrong.
Wax on?
Spreading the pizza dough.
What I'm talking about.
That's so good.
John Acosta's here. John is a musical director of the show. He's a very successful stand-up comedian, and he also recently had knee replacement surgery.
Yep.
But it doesn't explain why he's been so absent from the show, but you say you have a major announcement to make.
Listen, I do a lot of different jobs. Mm-hmm. And this one I've been involved with the last year and a half, and I'm pretty, I actually haven't talked about it, so I'm pretty pumped about it.
What category can we put this under?
Political.
Political?
Political.
Well, what's the deal?
I have been writing and advising Donald Trump for the last year and a half.
What?
Mm-hmm.
You mean you're like a speechwriter?
Yeah, and he also lets me advise him on other things too. So we have little things that we go. It's kind of funny. He heard one of my songs.
Yeah,
and he said, "Oh my God, you've got to be part of my team."
But you seem to be saying that you don't just write the speeches. You've written what?
Well, I came up with this like every day. Donna will wake up and we'll work on specific things. Like you say these things. Say easy, easier. Easiest.
Mm-hmm.
Say dry, drier, driest. You're mm-hmm. always looking for the superlatives.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's an exercise that we do every single day. Famous, more famous, most famous.
Trying to get him to stretch.
Yes.
All right. Well, let me ask about a couple specifics.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right after he was inaugurated, he made a big deal about the inaugural crowd size.
Right.
You wrote that?
I wrote that.
So you wrote the whole thing.
Well, here's the thing. I've been producing shows for years, and you always say they're sold out.
What about millions of illegals voted in California? Is that yours?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you wrote that as well?
Yeah. And I was actually, I was surprised that he was going to accept that.
Yeah.
But when I, here's the thing. I didn't mean illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Please understand that.
Yeah.
I just meant illegals.
Okay. All right.
Right.
So he maybe took it and ran with it.
Well, he made it sound one way. It sounded, but it still worked.
What about Obama wiretapped me? Is that a decause?
That is a decause. Yeah, because
it's unbelievable. Racist and Nazi support?
Well, okay, yes, but again, see, this is the I told him, I said, we got to get the smaller groups. There's a lot of these little like I said, get quilting clubs, scrapbook clubs, yeah. High life fans,
sure.
Okay, yeah, the furries are big. Get them to vote for you.
Right.
Gluten-free friends. That's a group, that's a special group.
Did you come up with Rocket Man for Kim Jong-un?
I did.
You wrote Rocket Man.
That's the song. Rocket, you know, come on. Rocket
but
Man.
But you're the one that told him use that.
And I think it's going to be a wrong Kim Jong. Don't you remember that?
What about the crazy Rocket tweets? Man, how many of the tweets do you write? Because you're not with him.
No. Well, but it's tweeting.
So do you tell him what to tweet?
No, I'm on my phone in the car, and I just speak into my Siri.
Co-fei-fei? Is that yours?
Yeah, co-fei-fei.
How about the mooch?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? He wasn't even my first choice. I had told him, no, get this. You're going to love this. Ralph right. Macchio was supposed to be.
So you actually casted for the mooch?
I casted for it, yeah.
Sean Spicer.
Oh, my God. Do you remember? This is kind of funny.
The Little Spicy Man.
No, Frank Bonner. Does that name ring for anybody?
Frank Bonner.
No, see, you're never going to remember him.
Doctor?
He played Herb on WKR Cincinnati. That's Care the guy that I wanted in the Spicer role.
What about the whole Russia thing? You're not going to tell me you've been writing all of that.
Oh, God, yeah.
You wrote all of this script. The last year and a half of stress we've been going through is a John DeCoste script.
I came up to him, and this is what we talked about. I said, here are my 5 points. 5 points. 5 points. Number one, only use what you cannot prove.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Number two, the best defense is to be offensive.
Okay, listen, those two, he is really caught on.
I'm telling you. Okay, how about this? Be mean when you say it, but say it without meaning.
Wow.
That's okay. I'm telling you. Makeup is for your face and your content.
Ah, yes, 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 yes.
Okay, and then I told them the one, orange is the new hack, because this is an opportunity. You can say whatever you want to say.
Well, where's the Russia story going?
You know, this is the best part about this, and this is why I'm having so much fun, because I just make it up as I go along. So
you don't know where the character arcs will go.
Know.
You don't know what's going to happen.
I have
with
no
Trump.
Idea. I
right.
have no idea.
Could be anything.
Could go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's what I feel like. Like,
would you call this a cliffhanger? You're developing a cliffhanger?
For me, yes.
Yes.
Yes. No question about it. And I get excited every morning when I wake up.
I just feel like we should be really offended by this, because haven't we been under a lot of stress for the last year and a half?
Yeah, yeah.
This has taken its toll. It certainly says you're a fine writer, but the fact that you've written everything that's happened in the Trump administration.
Okay, then this is on you.
What are you talking about?
No, this is totally on you. Nobody would say this stuff. Nobody in their right mind would say this stuff.
Well,
how do you not know that I haven't been writing and doing and getting involved?
Well,
give me a break.
You know what? That's
this is
fair.
The most. Everybody says it's the most ridiculous thing. Well, this is what I do.
So when I say you can't make it up, you actually
I
did.
Made it up.
Did you write the taco salad comment?
Taco salad comment's
okay.
mine.
All right.
And I, but yes. How about that?
All right. What about Sean Hannity?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because Shawnee, he's. I don't know if you know this. There is a word wraith. Do you know the word wraith?
Mm-hmm.
One seen shortly before death.
Yeah.
So I wrote his theme song. I'm Hannity, the wraith. I am. See, so and it goes right in there. So I sent it to him.
Yeah.
He laughed, and we're gonna have fun with it. He is a part of this cliffhanger as well. So
and last question: the Access Hollywood tape.
No, that was him.
Oh, that was Trump. Yeah, because you don't talk like that.
I mean,
you respect my
no.
Right.
But I what a godsend.
All right, so 99% of what we've gone through in the last year and a half, John DeCosta's fault.
I'm just Mr. Ridiculous, and this is fantastic. What I do.
That's
so
tremendous.
High five, high five. Yeah. High five, everybody. High five.
A little busy. All right, well, keep us up to date. It does make sense. It makes sense. The entire thing's been made up. It's 9 o'clock. News next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I could never pretend that I don't love you. You could never pretend that I'm your man. That's exactly the way that I want.
9:10. Exactly, what would you like to be able to deduct? It's tax day. I'd like to thank my accountant, Mike, Super Mike, because he got my extension in 3 days early.
Is he related to Super Joe?
Yeah, same family.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, you just feel better when you file your extension early. You don't wait till the last minute. You know what I mean?
I've like never filed an extension, so I don't know the feeling. I'll have to try it sometime.
I like to put off my procrastination until the last minute. I like to make sure I get it filed.
So are you recommending extensions?
Yes, absolutely.
For your taxes, not his hair.
Well, in my case, you know what I'm saying? So yesterday I'm watching Abigail Grace. And by watching, I mean, you know, we're hanging out together. We do this every Monday. Abigail Grace, for those of you who might be new to the show, thank you for that. Abigail Grace is 2 years, 4 months old. She's my one and only grandchild, and she's perfect. So yesterday, we're hanging out, and we're having a good time. And she gets up from her nap, and I get up from mine. And she wants to, we're reading some books. Reading some books. You know, that's what we do. We read some books. We're reading a classic. Speaking of the Pulitzer yesterday, I believe this is a Pulitzer Prize winning effort. Caps for Sale.
Yeah.
Familiar with Caps for Sale?
Oh, yeah.
Edge of your seat drama. Man, a peddler, if you will,
okay,
with caps stacked on top of his head,
mm-hmm,
walks to the village, tired, nobody's buying caps, sits under a tree, wakes up after a long nap, all his caps are gone.
Oh.
He was capped out.
He looks behind the tree. He looks to the left. He looks to the right. No caps. He looks up. And what would you guess? Monkeys in the tree stole his caps.
Oh, spoiler. You should have said spoiler for those who haven't finished the book.
It's always the monkeys.
He says, where are my caps? Monkeys, give me my caps. The monkeys laugh. The monkeys don't give up the caps.
No.
We've known that for years. Finally, he gets frustrated. He throws his own cap down, and the monkeys start throwing the caps at him. This allows him to pick up his caps, go back to his home, where his caps for sale work can continue.
Oh, look at goosebumps.
Now, we didn't get to the end of the book.
Spoiler alert.
We didn't get to the end of the book. No, that is the end of the book. We didn't get to the end of the book because Abigail's read it before, and she tapped out. She tapped out, and she looked at me with that.
She knew the ending.
She looked at me with that perfect little face, and she goes, watch Elmo.
Yeah.
Now, we have a thing. We watch Elmo. Elmo's World.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about this before. Elmo's World. You talk about edge of the seat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Elmo's World, because you know what happens, don't you? You're going to see what's up with Dorothy the goldfish, right? And then Elmo's going to have something on his mind for sure, and then you're going to talk about whatever Elmo's thinking about, and Elmo's going to teach you more.
Yeah.
And then Elmo always makes a point of working with the youth when he asks a baby. And Elmo will go over and I'll talk to the baby, and then they'll giggle, and then they come back. And, you know, you can't forget about the fact that the shade's involved, the computer's involved, and Mr. Why am I forgetting his name? The guy that's always behind the shit.
Oh,
it'll come to me later.
Come on, you know who that is, right?
So anyway.
I don't record it anymore.
Elmo's World. I want to watch it, too. But I said to Abigail, I said, well, you got to put the book back.
Right. The caps, the book about the caps.
The book about the caps. Yeah. Because she's two. She needs to put her things away, right?
Sure.
That's how you learn. So I said, Abigail, you have to put the book back. And that's when she went, no, it's too hard. I mean, like 0 to 60. 0 to 60.
Yeah.
It's all fine until she finds out we're not going to immediately go to Elmo. Abigail, you have to put the book away. No!
It's too hard.
Now, didn't you just crack up?
It was hard not to. It was really hard not to.
Would there have been a scenario where she could take the book to watch Elmo and kind of hold the book while she's watching the TV?
Possibly, but she threw herself down on the couch.
Yeah.
You know, she was so upset about the whole thing. And frankly, upset about my unreasonable request.
Right.
Hmm. Right?
Understandable.
This one, it goes to phase two.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, well, we got a standoff here. Mm-hmm. This is like the Old West. You remember the Old West story of the gunslinger and the toddler? Remember that?
Yes.
Old West?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Sergio Leone.
Yeah. So I said, Abigail, we can watch Elmo, but you got to put the book away.
Yeah.
No, I can't want to.
Oh, see?
Yeah, see, she can't want to.
But in her defense, she's a woman who knows what she wants.
And what she doesn't want.
That's right.
Why was it so important for you to have the book away before you started watching?
Well, because I feel like it's a task. You got to finish the task. See, I've never held her to anything. I figured maybe this would be the time.
This is the shot.
Yeah. So I said, put the book away and we can watch Elmo. No, I can't want to. So she sat on the edge of the couch, staring out the window. And I thought, I have seen this from females throughout my life.
That's right. And that's okay.
Females were upset about me staring out a window, just going, I'm not going to say a word. He's dying over there. Mm-hmm. And then every couple of minutes, you go, Elmo? I go, Abigail, put the book away, honey. Put the book away. We're 10 minutes into the standoff. Who knows where it could go? You could cut the tension with a knife.
Yeah.
And she smiles. She gets down from the couch. She goes, she grabs the book. She takes it over to the book rack. She puts it away, turns around and goes, Abigail did it!
Oh, look.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
See, that is nice.
So I thanked her, gave her a hug, and we watched Elmo.
I still think she won.
Here's the weird part. There was a whole gun scene in Elmo, which I didn't expect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, shootout.
That's why I stopped recording it.
Shootout on Sesame
That's
Street.
That's where she got the idea.
Yeah. Now, when she does that, because I've been to
She's
many,
never done that.
But I've been
she's
to...
She's never had a standoff with me.
But I've been to many shows with you. We were always giving a $20 bill away. So did you give her a $20 bill for putting the book back?
She didn't care about money yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's next Monday?
That's probably next Monday. Next Monday in Mondays with Abigail.
Right.
It's a segment we
When we watch her, we'll teach her that part.
Right.
Yes.
And ask Pops for the $20 bill.
Pops. I give her 20 and have her spend it. No, it's too hard.
What if she looked at you with those big blue eyes and went,
anything she wants.
I was going to say, Pops, money.
What is it? I can't not want to?
I can't not want to.
So she knows, she's like Shakespearean.
I can't not want to.
Double
I can't
negative.
Not want to.
Yeah.
Double negatives.
Well, I didn't drop the double negative on her.
I can't not want to.
The only thing missing from her look at me over the 10 minutes while we were, you know, having a standoff was her saying, you know, if she could put this sentence together at this point, the reason I'm mad? If you don't know, I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that was missing. She did say at one point, she said, do I look fat in this diaper? And I said, no, honey, you look perfect.
We're giving her girl card early, by the way.
Yeah, without question. Yeah. Hey, I got three things here. I got three things. You guys like to play three things?
Yeah.
Love it.
I got three things. You must pick one of the three things. Here are the headlines from stories we haven't had time to do anywhere else this morning. Top 10 most expensive restaurants in New York City. Things that healthy people do before 10 o'clock in the morning, or get caught double parking in Chicago and pay through the nose.
Oh, I like the healthy people one.
Healthy people?
I'm saying get caught parking in Chicago illegally. And yeah.
Parking, Dave?
I go with the healthy.
Thank you, Dave.
John?
I don't know why, but I kind of the healthy thing for some reason. Now I'm
Super Joe. You could be the deciding vote here
because I have an Elmo book. I can't put it away.
Yeah, let's go with the healthy eating.
All right, healthy eating. Healthy eating. Things that healthy people do before 10 o'clock in the morning. What time are we on? Are we on 6 to 10?
6 to 10.
Which is funny because none of us eat before 10 a.m. Do you realize?
Well,
that?
It might not be just eating.
Then why am I bringing bagels?
Oh, except your bagels. That's the only thing we eat.
So you explain that.
Things that healthy people do before 10 o'clock in the morning. Okay. Meditate. Are we going to have time to meditate?
No, we don't have time for that.
Time to meditate. Taking a break from their phones.
Oh, meditate.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Medicate.
Oh, Medicaid. I do that.
Yeah, we all do that.
This show, yeah.
Take a break from your phones. It's not enough to pause before hopping out of bed. Put your phone away. Get caught up on other things and think about things before 10 a.m. You don't have to be on your phone the minute you get up in the morning.
We kind of do.
You wanted the healthy story.
Take a shower.
We all do that.
Well, that's first thing.
I take one the night before.
So do I. I'll take a shower at night.
Yep.
You get up in the morning, get dressed, and go.
But then you wake up dirty.
Really?
What do you think's going on while I sleep?
Well, I can't do that.
Your hair gets all greasy.
I have got to. I have to take a shower.
I have to. Let me repeat. What do you think's going on while I sleep?
Yeah, but
that happens while you sleep,
and it wakes you up. I mean, it gets you going.
Yeah. Revitalizes you.
It takes time.
I don't want to connect with anyone.
We don't want to have to smell you.
We don't have to shower with anybody, but just shower.
How about this? People stay positive. Healthy people before 10 a.m. stay positive. Listen, I got to talk about a lot of crap between 6 and 10. It's hard to stay positive.
Yeah, I think that's hard because you're looking forward at the day, depending on what the day is.
Yeah.
It could be a negative thing. Mm-hmm. Like today, I knew I was coming in. I'm like, God!
You should have meditated.
Practice gratitude. Look, we could all be better at that.
Mm-hmm.
Being grateful for what we have in life. Practice gratitude. Like, I would sometimes really be grateful if I could sleep for about 4 more hours. That would be exercise. Does anybody exercise before the show?
No time.
Yeah, how would you do that? You have to get up at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
Dave and I exercise after the show.
Yes, every day.
Together?
You know, because I do physical PT 3 times a week.
Physical PT?
Physical PT.
So you do physical therapy?
I call it physical PT. I do PT physically.
Because it's not physical?
So it's physical
but
therapy.
I the minute I wake up, I go through about a 20-minute thing that I do, you know, stretching? All these different things.
Okay.
So that's new for me.
10 a.m., you eat breakfast. You don't eat breakfast until 10 a.m. Here's why. Believe it or not, there's a big benefit to fasting, and this is pre-fasting. This is just a little bit of fast boost. The healthiest people wait to eat until 10 a.m., especially if you've been up a few hours. It cranks up your metabolism.
I think we all do that, right?
Yeah, I don't eat until 10.
Unless there's a food drop.
I have something before the show.
I eat my little cereal.
Hydrate. Drink water. I drink a ton of water.
Sometimes you can hear our stomach growlings on the microphone. Have you ever had that?
Yeah, by 10 o'clock.
Well, not unless I'm holding the microphone to my stomach.
Sometimes mine
like
is
an
so loud.
Like an ultrasound.
What did you say, Steve?
10 o'clock, it's lunchtime.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
And noon, it's dinner.
Yeah.
They keep their space clean, healthy people before 10 a.m.
See? That's why I Purell everything and wipe everything off.
Right. So there you go, some healthy things.
That's just because I'm a germaphobe. Though.
Healthy things people do. You guys, sorry you made that choice?
Yeah, a little bit.
No, I think that was good. Very productive.
I'm disappointed.
What was the parking story?
Parking story, and then I'll give you the expensive restaurants later. Okay. On Monday, that's yesterday, Alderman Brendan Riley advanced his plans to hit vehicles parked on the roadway side of any vehicle stopped or parked in the city, in the central business district. Right now, the fine's $100. So if you double park,
right,
like you pull up next to a car, and you see this at valets all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yep.
And one valet or two valets work in a restaurant, right? And you got 15 cars spread all over a street. Currently, the fine's $100. $100. It'll stay that way outside downtown Chicago, but pretty much within the loop. Brendan Riley saying the ticket should go to $300 the first time.
Oh, that'll teach him.
Yeah, no one will double park anymore.
Does anybody know what the fine is for talking on your phone when you have it in your hand in the car?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
No.
Find it out. Hold on.
Basically, everything in Chicago fine-wise starts at $100. And I'm not being flippant.
No,
that's true. That's
everything's $100.
Yeah, it was like $150. Used to be a residential sticker was $50, and now that's up to $100.
Everything's $100.
So everything's $100 minimum, yeah.
Brendan Riley says, the 42nd Ward Alderman says, the hiking the downtown fines won't affect commercial delivery drivers who do this more often than anybody.
Yes, we had that this morning.
Yeah, because they aren't deterred by the prospect of $100 ticket because most businesses go, it's a cost of doing business.
Really?
Yeah, you roll up in front of someplace, the amount of time you're saving by double parking and getting a ticket is less than it would take if you actually parked legally and then offloaded whatever you're offloading.
Huh.
It is $100 for talking on your phone.
Is it?
$125 and then $150, yeah.
Yeah. And remember, when you get a parking ticket in Chicago or a speeding ticket in Chicago, and it's pretty much true everywhere in Illinois, it's mob numbers. You don't pay it on time, it doubles.
Yep.
You don't pay it on the second warning, it doubles again.
Yep.
And then Tony Soprano's ghost shows up at your house and takes
your thing. Do you remember when Mary Sandberg started, she told us the story, how upset she was about the no turn on red.
Yeah, this is like Sandberg's second day. She's coming in, and she got frustrated because somebody was in front of her.
Yes.
And she couldn't believe that she got warned. I don't think she got a ticket. She got warned, right?
Oh, I got a ticket.
Oh, you did get a ticket.
The cars in front of me were stopped at the red light.
Right, because that's generally what a red light means.
Yes.
Right.
And you went around to the right of the car line and turned right. You're pretty heavy.
Oh, no, no. I went around to the left, and I made a left turn.
Yeah. But that, I remember that story because I agreed with her up until that point where she basically went to the left and went bypassed everybody, and I'm like, we all laughed. We all laughed.
So when the officer pulls you over and comes up, did you literally go, what?
Oh, no. I never pretend I don't know what I did. I knew exactly what I did. I was like, it's 4 a.m. It shouldn't matter is really what I was.
It shouldn't matter even though the cars in front of you were stopped.
Oh, yeah. They were stopped. And I went into the oncoming lane. There was no turn lane. Say, I just went around it.
We should say you weren't late. This was like an hour before the show. Easily.
Yeah, because the opening bell started at 5. So I was there at 4 o'clock.
Right.
I was, but I got a ticket. That's the part that annoyed me, that I got the ticket.
And did
I
you was pay it?
Oh, yeah. I always pay. Okay. Well, I went to court, though, with an attorney. I can't remember.
She passed in the hallway.
Yeah, because, my ticket, it was one of those tickets where it didn't say the price. Uh-huh. It just said, you have to come to court.
That's where you spin a wheel. You go in and the judge spins a wheel and decides what your fine is.
So I paid the ticket. Yeah, so I didn't actually pay it because the officer didn't show.
Which happens quite a bit.
But I had to pay the attorney.
Part of the reason they didn't show is they were frightened of you.
And my attorney was Greek, and he knew Andrea, which is like...
Oh.
So he got you out of it. Good.
He didn't get me out of it.
Did the attorney cost more than the fine would have?
I don't know, because the fine, it wasn't one of those... The box wasn't checked on how much it was going to cost me, which is why it scared
me. Did you have to pay the attorney, or was the attorney a friend of yours?
Oh, no, I paid it. Mm.
You know, I remember many years ago, I was in downtown Aurora, and I parked, and the meter went out, and I got a $3 fine, and I'm like, yeah.
$3?
Yeah.
What year was this, 1947?
The Cubs just won the World Series, so 1908. No.
So you got a $3
fine. I'm like, yeah. I'll pay this right away. And we bought our second home, and that was on the list, and I had to clear that up at $112.
Oh, when you were trying to get the loan?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
And like a lien on your house.
And it went up to $112, and I had to go to Aurora and pay, and I go, why didn't I just send this $3 in?
$3 turned into $112.
$112, and we couldn't close on the house because that showed up on the thing.
Wow. How about that?
Is that crazy?
Stopping criminals.
That's why I will never go to Aurora again.
Yeah, it's definitely Aurora's fault.
It's their fault.
Yeah, 926. Back with more in a moment.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Hi to everybody on CLTV. Today's Tax Day. Go ahead, wave to him, Dave. Give him a wave.
Hi, CLTV.
Today is Tax Day, and I like to send in a little extra.
Yeah.
You know, I go, listen.
That's nice.
I like being an American. I like living here. Take a little more.
It's nice of you.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know that I would do that except for when the calculations come back. They go, Steve, you're going to be sending in a little extra. So, and if you're filing an extension today, my extension brothers and sisters, don't forget you have to pay what you believe you owe.
Right.
And if it turns out you owe $100,000 and you send in a nickel, that could be a problem.
Mm-hmm. So you have to send in money with your extension?
I did, yes. Yes. Yeah. Wow.
And will they give you, if you overpaid, they give it back to you immediately?
They give it to Abigail.
Okay.
They refund it. Yeah. Okay. Here's what the listeners say. Give us back the ability to deduct auto loan interest and credit card interest. It's one of the things that's going away next year with the new tax thing.
I like the idea.
815, hair dye, because I have kids and a husband.
I would go along with hair and makeup.
Well, this individual felt that the gray hairs are not her fault.
Right.
773, I want to be able to have my two cats as dependents. They get vaccinated, have health insurance. They're very expensive.
People really like this cat tax.
A lot of pet stuff. This is a pet-loving audience. And here's another one, 224, veterinary bills for my cats, Laverne and Shirley.
Oh,
good name for cats.
Shamil.
312-981-7200 if you want to text in.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Back with Orion Samuelson, who joins us each week. Tell us what's going on in the world of, I don't know, Orion. I guess we'd call it food. We all eat, don't we all eat?
Too, because basically, I tell you what, we put food on the dinner table.
We put a roof over our head, we put clothes on our back, and now we put fuel in our tank. So
there you go.
It's kind of a multifaceted industry.
We got a good news, bad news, food situation. Let me give you the good news. The press spokesman for the mayor of New York City, Bill de Blasio, was in town not too long ago.
Yeah.
Says, Chicago pizza kicks butt on New York pizza. He actually was at Pequod's. Said, Chicago pizza, best in the country. It's not close. Yeah. There you go. There you go. Do you have a pizza you like, though?
Well, I tell you what, I think we're going to a pizzeria tonight. Rather unusual one, but it's a good one. And here in the Valley of the Sun in Phoenix, Scottsdale, I think some of the worst pizza in the world. But this place does it well.
Well, the Chicago pizza, you know, everybody talks about deep dish, but I like a thin crust. And
well,
thin crust pizza here, better than anywhere else.
Oh.
In the country, again, by far. You know, in New York City, and I'm not knocking New York City pizza, but you shouldn't be able to fold your pizza.
I agree.
It's not origami. It's pizza.
And it's not a pie. I know they call it pie,
yeah,
but pie is pie.
Pizza. Stop it already.
Yeah.
Stop it. So anyway, we got the best pizza in the country, according to the mayor's press secretary in New York City.
Well, I would agree with it.
No argument. Now, here's the downside. What's this egg story, Andrea?
Well, it's about, Orion, I know you've been following this, too. 200 million eggs recalled across 9 states due to possible salmonella contamination. It's worth asking. This is a great USA Today story, but I'll let you answer the question. How do eggs typically get infected?
I don't know. I really don't know how they get infected. I know that we've had some lettuce from the valley here in Arizona, California, recalled as well because of salmonella. And it's, I think, easier to get there than it is inside the shell of an egg. I don't know.
Isn't it an individual thing? Like, you know, the contamination can happen at different sources?
Yeah. According to the story, it says that salmonella can contaminate as few as 1 in 20,000 eggs. So once infected, it moves quickly, infecting eggs as they form. But the eggs still remain vulnerable after being laid as well. So to play it safe, the CDC says just don't eat any foods with raw or undercooked eggs unless they're pasteurized.
Okay.
What about
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right.
What about the markets? How are we looking?
Markets are doing fairly well. The concern now is, you know, we're only in the middle of April. But the annual event that begins to occur in the middle of April is farmers worrying about, are we going to get the crop planted? My golly, especially when you see snow on the ground like they're seeing in the Dakotas and Minnesota and Wisconsin and Michigan. Will we ever get the crop planted? Well, yes, we always get the crop planted. There are some delays, and we got the weekly report on planting progress late yesterday from the Department of Agriculture, and 3% of the corn crop has been planted. But the five-year average at this date is 5%, so we're not that far behind, and we will get it planted. The thing that I think we're concerned about is the condition of the winter wheat crop, because only 31% of the winter wheat crop is rated good to excellent. And in the top producing state of Kansas, for example, only 12% rated good to excellent. And they've had a drought that's now beginning to build wildfires, particularly in Oklahoma, where they're concerned about losing cattle to these quick spreading wildfires and, of course, losing crop as well. Oklahoma, the second top producing state, only 8% of the winter wheat crop is in good to excellent condition. But one of my broker friends sent me a graph that shows the record 1 week corn planting progress in the U.S. since 1991. And with today's equipment, we have had 2 weeks going back to 1991 where farmers have planted nearly half of the corn acres in 1 week. 43% planted May 4 through 10 of 1992, and 43% planted May 13 through 19 of 2011. So once we get the warmer weather and the drier weather, man, we can put this corn in the ground real fast.
Well, it's exciting. That's good.
It is. It you know, it's unbelievable, because on our farm, of course, that was ancient history, but when I was a kid, we had a two-row corn planter pulled by horses. Well, today, there are 48-row corn planters, and that means you can plant a
48
ton
rows.
Of acres in a short time.
48 rows.
48 rows,
or as,
yes.
Or as I like to call it, 24 passes.
Yeah. 36-row planter is very common. 48 wow. is pretty unusual, but 36-row corn planters, very commonplace today across the country. So with the equipment, we'll get it planted, unless it keeps snowing till July. I don't know.
Sandberg, say hi to.
Hey, Big O. I have an agriculture question that is kind of a micro agriculture, as it has to do with my own yard.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I'll try. I don't know what you're planting, but I'll try.
So 3 years ago, we bought our house, and the people that owned our house were a little older, and they were big on, they added to the landscaping a lot. Flowers, like we have flowers that come up every few weeks, different ones and different bushes or whatever. And over the 3 years, every year I'm thinning it, but for two reasons. It's really expensive to have them come take stuff out, so we're doing it in phases, and I forget what's there until they pop up, and then I decide what I don't want. My landscaper yeah. makes me feel really guilty for wanting to pull things out, and she wants to place them in places, other places in the yard, but I want them gone. And I want
she doesn't want to kill them.
Yeah, like I'm aborting these plants.
So she's
and
taking
flowers.
It personally that you're.
Yeah, she's like, don't you want to move those to the backyard? No, I don't want to see yellow flowers. I'm just not a big fan, and they've popped up, and so I want to.
This reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where the mechanic stole Jerry's car because he didn't like the way Jerry was treating it.
So I'm in a like. You know, I'm trying to be nice, but I'm like, I'm paying you to do it. I want these things gone, and she wants to replace them in other places in the yard, and I don't want them there. And I want someone to say it's okay to kill some of the agriculture.
I think it's okay to kill flowers you don't want in this part of the yard, but that's not unusual for people who deal with yards, because here in Arizona, we have Carlos, who comes in once a week to clean up the yard and things like that. And we'll see a flower, and it looks dead. And we'll tell him, take it out. And he'll look, and he said, oh, no, I see a green leaf. It's not dead.
He doesn't want to let it go.
Doesn't want to let it go? No.
Yeah, there's a personal.
Maybe,
yeah.
It may be natural to people who work in landscaping and gardening. I'm not sure.
What's Wall Street look like today?
Wall Street looking pretty good. Some good earnings reports. They're saying this could be the best earnings report in 7 years, and they're predicting that we'll see an 18% increase in earnings at all of the 500 companies that report earnings this time of the year. So Netflix surprised, Goldman Sachs surprised, and healthcare. And, you know, as I keep going, I go to Mayo's about three times a week to work on back and legs. And every time, the crowd is bigger and bigger. I mean, to me, the stock market's future is in healthcare. So,
yeah, no question. No question about it. All right, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Walk of Fame. I'll be back there for
Excellent.
That, and I'm looking forward to it.
1 month away. That's great.
Okay.
That's Big O, and we'll come back. Bill and Wendy on the way.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
$9.55, Bill and Wendy coming up. I told you I'd tell you about the most expensive restaurants in New York City. I remember when I used to travel a lot, I remember having dinner at the Marriott Marquis in Midtown. I mean, breakfast at the Marriott Marquis in Midtown. And it was a bagel and with cream cheese and an orange juice, and it was $18.50. And I thought, well, this is crazy.
Wow.
And now, that was 10 years ago, probably. But I had breakfast here at a fine hotel recently.
which I think was a bagel with cream cheese and orange juice, and it was $25.
Yeah. Pricey.
I just stayed at the Marriott Marquis in New York.
Yeah.
And
prices have dropped.
Yeah, it's much more reasonable now. It's like you can amortize it over a period of time.
Do they have loan officers?
Yeah, they're there to help you out.
That's nice.
Yeah, no, made it affordable.
Here are some of the most expensive restaurants in New York, which make them some of the most expensive restaurants in the world. A place called K-O, Contemporary American Cuisine. 8 Extra Place, New York, New York. A tasting menu for lunch or dinner. You can decide. $195 a person.
Oh, my God.
And the neighborhood's the East Village if you want to make a reservation.
Lunch for $195.
That's lunch? Per person.
Yeah.
Per person.
So that sounds reasonable.
Le Bernardin, in Midtown, New York City. There is a 4-course fixed price menu, $147 per person.
Oh, we're getting better. A little less expensive there.
Jean George.
Oh, I just got to deduct money.
Midtown West, only $138 for a 3-course dinner. Restaurant called Daniel, because the chef has a huge ego, Daniel Balud. This is French, and you can pay $142 American. That's how much it costs to have a bite there.
You have to give them $142 Americans?
No, $142 American is what the number is.
It's a lot of people.
There's a bunch of seafood places here and sushi places as well. But let me jump to the one that is the most expensive. It's called Masa. There are 26 seats at Masa, a Japanese restaurant at the Time Warner Center in New York. Dinner is served Monday through Saturday, 6 to 9. There is a 6-month wait for a table. Price fixed menu, $595 per person.
Why is the
none of those are booze included.
Why is the markup on sushi so expensive? It's rice and usually like one shrimp chopped up with maybe some celery.
Yeah, but the fish are still alive. Yeah.
Somebody's problem. Not a sushi fan, apparently.
Yeah. I like sushi. Yeah. I do. I just,
well, you just totally
why
dissed
it. Why is the markup so
it's
much?
It's very expensive. It's very expensive.
Yeah, it's yeah. Like,
not it makes, everywhere.
It's
it makes, no, it is.
Say, I go to Mariano's.
Yeah. You go to Walgreens.
Walgreens across the
Walgreens.
Street. They have great sushi.
Are you getting sushi out of a vending machine now?
I get shampoo. Sushi.
California roll.
Listen, I love and Walgreens. I go to Walgreens probably every day. I love Walgreens. I'm never getting sushi from Walgreens,
no.
Ever. 9:58, Bill and Wendy are next.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
10 o'clock, and Bill and Wendy are here. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Let me turn your mic on. That might
help. Oh, I don't need a microphone.
In this case.
I'm loud enough, aren't I?
Wendy's like a lighthouse. You just hear,
Patsy.
Well, she that's lights fun. Up a room.
You guys going to talk? You guys going to talk about Harry Anderson today?
Yes,
I'm shocked.
Was very sad news.
Yes,
two years ago.
Yes, we just it's up on the WGNRadio.com if you want to listen to the podcast.
Yeah, he's a very nice man.
It's one of those. But we know a lot of famous people, and it's one of those things where you look and you go, wrong guy died.
I know,
right?
Yeah. I know.
I could name a few others.
Who should have died in this place? Steve?
Yeah, that'd be a good text question tomorrow.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. See you tomorrow.